try and get in my head. I got portable sounds to lift me up. Portable sounds to take me higher. Portable sounds to lift me up. So don't even try and get in my head. We got portable sounds to lift us up. Portable sounds to take us higher. Portable sounds to lift us up.
Welcome back from lunch, and if you can hear the sound of my voice, please say shh. This is going to be a powerful afternoon. Is anybody in the room ready for a powerful afternoon? Sorry, wrong room. Is anybody ready for a powerful afternoon? Then please move quickly back to your seats. Shut down all the other conversations. Get back to the seats. Turn your full undivided attention to the main stage and help me to welcome Mr. Brian Niederhaus.
How you guys doing?
Awesome. You guys are going to get some special nuggets that those guys are going to miss out on. All right. Who is having an amazing weekend? Was this morning like off the charts? Like, dude, it was fantastic. It was so funny. I wrote down some stuff I want to talk about today, and then Danny did all of it. So we'll figure out something else to talk about, but man, this has been a phenomenal weekend. I know a lot of you. This is your first time. Wow, awesome! I love that you guys chose to come today. A lot of first-time people don't, and this is the day that is, to me, the best day because it's way more unpredictable. And Danny, I feel sorry for some of the leaders this afternoon. Was that great? But don't point the finger at them. That's for every one of us. How many are we going to close today? How many are we going to close today? Daily goals like that are so powerful. So anyway, let's get rolling. My name is Brian Niederhaus. I'm the director of marketing for Destiny Global, and I get the opportunity to help spread the word about what we're doing. I've actually known Danny for about 22 years now, 23 years now, 23 years, a long time. And when I first met Danny, I actually owned a traditional business. I owned a bicycle shop out of Northern California. Any traditional business owners here? Awesome. How many like home-based business, like network marketing, that kind of stuff? Well, about half and half. Cool. Maybe a little more on the home business. So we're going to talk about some cool stuff today and kind of try to give you an action plan on the steps that you've seen. How many guys have got so much information you're a little bit overloaded right now? All right, we're going to try to connect the dots and help you design the system for you and your business. That's basically what I do with Smarter Networker and what we want to help you do with today. But when I got a chance to meet Danny, my family and I had been building this business for about 4 years. We had invested $250,000 into our business just to get the doors open. How many traditional business owners can relate to that? It's a little different than home base, right? The problem with home based businesses is too dang easy to get started. You don't have the money investment that the traditional business owners have, and so it's so easy to just not do anything or to even quit. Well, I'm getting off track already. But anyway, so my family and I invested $250,000 into this business just to get the doors open. We're working 80 to 100 hours a week. We had done that for 4 years. And every year we invested another $50,000 on top of all the money that we had made. And our business was doing very, very well, well over $1 million a year in sales. We well respected in the community. We had great reputation. I mean, we were doing well, except we were making about $20,000 to $24,000 a year. After 80 to 100 hours a week, how many traditional owners can still raise their hands and relate to that? In fact, our staff was making more money than us in most cases. And we looked at each other after about 4 years of this and said, you know, this isn't really what we signed up for. On top of that, our family had really kind of torn itself apart. We had a lot of stress, a lot of fracturing within the family. And this isn't what we wanted to do. And that was about the time this amazingly beautiful woman walks into my bicycle shop with selling me something. And in fact, she was selling me this energy tonic that was supposed to help me with my cycling performance. I raced bicycles back then. Seriously, I still race quite a bit today as well. She was telling me about this product that was going to help me with all these things and going to help me, you know, sleep better and be better performance on my bicycle. And pretty much no matter what she says, I already sold, because she was so incredibly beautiful. She could have been selling a bag of dirt or something, and I would have been a buyer. So my beautiful wife of 21 and a half years back there, Kristen, you can stand up real quick, please. Yeah, she's awesome. You know, Danny was talking a little bit earlier today about what would happen if you didn't talk to somebody. Had she not talked to me, I don't even know where my life would be today, to tell you the truth, because it was in a really bad place when she was talking to us about this other thing. And I used the product, had a great result on it. And I started getting smart. I was sending customers to her, friends of mine. They were like, what are you doing? It's different. You know, they're starting to see a performance difference in my cycling and some other areas. And I kept just sending her customers. I finally got smart enough to ask her, is there any financial opportunity behind this product? And she's like, yeah, did you watch that VHS tape that I gave you? Dated myself a little bit here, but that was our system, right? How many of you guys have a CD or DVD or a web page or something like that? And people, you send them to there and they don't do it, right? Why was that guy that didn't do it? Because she followed up with me and she finally got me to take a look at it. She said, well, you're coming with me. Tomorrow night we're going to, and I said, like, a date? She's like, no, you dumbass. We're going to go. To go teach you how to make some money. And I got a chance that night to meet Danny Johnson, and that was really amazing. Here was a woman that was 3 years younger than me. I was 27 years old at the time. Danny was 24 years old at the time. Just a couple years before I had met her, was living in her car in Hawaii, and she saw her car yesterday or a couple days ago. And it was like I listened to her story. I'm like, if that girl can do it, I can do it, you know? And so I got encouraged by that story, and I said I wanted to sign up. And she said, Brian, well, that's awesome. We'd love to have you join us, but we just can't have any failures in our business. And I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean? You know? And she says, well, you must come to First Steps of Success before we'll work with you. And that's what she meant. And it was like, it was a qualifier. And, you know, that First Steps of Success was like 4 days later, another city, several hundred dollars, hotel, travel, all that stuff. I didn't have it. And, but I knew that if I didn't do something different, I didn't know where I was going to be going. Something had to change in my life. And, Kristen was still really hot by then. And that hadn't changed. So, I got myself there. I just had to. And that first morning, that first day, that first weekend changed everything. Get to listen to a multimillionaire tell you what she does every single day. And back then it was just about this one business that she actually owned at that time. And I learned these tips and these tricks and these things that I was able to apply into my bicycle store and had some success there. I was able to repair some relationships and start working together better. But now she let me join this home-based business. And I didn't know really much. I just had a couple days of training, but I was able to, in the next 10 hours over the next month or so, working 15 hours here or 15 minutes here, 30 minutes there, piecing together about 10 hours over the next 30 days, made a little over $2,000. that was the best money and most important money I probably ever made in my life. How many of you guys have that kind of a story where there's something happened in your business that just said, you know what, I'm going to make this work? That was that first paycheck. It's like, wow. And it really wasn't because I was so awesome at the business. In fact, my first home presentation, which was the Tuesday night after the first steps of success, we got out at like 2 a.m. on Sunday night, and I said, okay, let's host a home presentation. And so I scheduled it for Tuesday night with Kristen, who I later found out had never done one before. And she had made $65,000 retailing her product the year before, but she had never built the business side, you know, like the sales team. And so I booked this thing, and I at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she comes over and says, okay, Brian, how many people do you got? She's setting up her product display and all this kind of stuff. And she's like, how many people do you got coming over tonight? And I was like, well, what I was thinking is maybe we could do this on Thursday night. Because I haven't had a chance to call anybody yet, you know. And she looks at me, and I can still remember this to the exact thing. She says, Brian, you're a coward. In fact, she said, Brian, you're an effing coward. This 98-pound little firecracker was looking at me and calling me a coward. And that was a wake-up call. And so what I did, I forgot to bring my script books. I found the smallest possible script I could. It was called the opinion script. I think it's on page 33 of the supplemental script book now. And it's just called the opinion script. And the reason I used that one, we didn't have the beautiful script books back then. We had like Xerox copies of scripts of, you know, just pieces of paper. But it was about this long, right? So I could, it was two sentences. So I was so nervous that I called. I had a big long list of names, like Danny talked about this morning. I called that list, like nine of those people on that list. These were my best contacts. These were guys that were sales reps for Nike. You guys ever heard of Nike? How about Adidas? Another person was a sales rep for Adidas. We had this one girl, she was a sales rep for 14 different brands of products that I sold in my bicycle shop. I had several other people, you know, that were just quality. One guy was a retired executive from a corporation looking for a home-based business. I mean, these were good quality people, and I called them up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, read this silly little script. Hi, my name is Brian. these are like my best friends, right? Hi, my name is Brian. I'd love to get your opinion on a business opportunity. And I can't remember how it goes exactly, but I read it like a robot. I was so nervous and so scared. 8 of the 9 showed up 3 hours later. Scripts work. Shocking. You know what happened at that meeting? We sold one bottle of product. That was 22 years ago. Nothing else has ever happened from those nine people. But the cool thing was I realized that they were going to stay my friends. They weren't going to, like, you know, disown me because I tried to get them into a business, you know. But a couple of days later, one of the people that couldn't make it to that party came into my business. She got started. She did $24,000 in sales over the next month. Yeah, shocking. You guys have had something like that happen. What if I had quit the day after that brutal meeting? Oh, millions of dollars not lost, but I didn't. And so I went on to my first year, made about $12,000 learning. This business, just staying plugged in. I had some really high highs, some really low lows. How many of you guys have had that in your early part of your business, right? 0 months, month, and then a little bit, and then, and that first year was a learning curve. It was just like learning this business. Danny says, give me a year of your life. That's what I did. I plugged into everything I possibly could. This is before the internet, right? We didn't have all these great tools that you could just press play on the internet and have it play for you. We didn't have all the products she has now. We didn't have any of that. So every time she did a conference call, she did a meeting, she did a business presentation, whatever it was, I was there with people as best I could, bring one or two people, taking notes, learning how to do it. Second year, made about $25,000, doubled my income. My third year is when things really took off. And that is when we started recruiting people that were better than us. You guys ever had that happen in your business before? You bring somebody in that's better than you, man, it's the best thing ever. Because these are the people that maybe at the beginning, they don't quite see the vision, but they've got more skill than you. They've got more ability. They're more willing to go talk to people. And we just plugged them into a system and that at that point was rolling strong. That people were coming and saying, you know what? I want to be part of this. I don't know what it is. A bunch of young people kind of doing crazy stuff, but they're making money and they're having fun. I want to be part of that. And we just would plug them in and put them in front of Danny, put 10 people in front of Danny every single month. And from that, we made over $65,000 that year. Our business exploded to doing somewhere around $300,000 a month in sales within a year or so. And it was just like amazing. How many guys would like that kind of success in your business? A lot of you guys have, yeah, for sure. A lot of you are like love that. Some of you are sitting in the room going, I've already got 10 times that, right? But a lot of times when as your business starts taking off, what happens? People start, well, you get comfortable, but you also have people start pulling on you, right? What's the one thing that will make you money? Prospecting, recruiting, selling. So when you start getting people in the business, what happens? They go, Jackie, can you help me? Can you tell me about this deal? Is this, you know, how do I sell this? Can I talk to this person for me? Right? All these people have questions and stuff. And pretty soon you start, it almost makes you feel important because now you got all these people that want your time and your attention. But what happens to your business? Right? So, by plugging into that, the system that we had in place and by staying focused on the one thing that would make us money, we would be able to grow that. And if your business is already to that point, but you're working 80 hours a week, there might be some things in there that you're not doing right. And so what I want to do today is go and share with you a couple of tips on the seven steps that Danny laid out for you and help you customize it for your business. Now, this is not, if you have a system that's working for you, please don't change it. If it's working and there's people making money doing your system and they're living the lifestyle that you would like to live, like a Jackie O'Quinn, for example, who's financially independent, works, how many hours a week do you work? 30 hours a week, making whatever kind of money you make. Who would like that lifestyle? Unbelievable time with his family. He gets to invest. You can see his pictures on teaching his kids how to eat sushi. You like this. Good thing I'm not his kid. But you know what I'm saying? He's living an awesome lifestyle. And that's the kind of people you want to follow. So if you have leaders in your business that are doing that, don't change anything. Just follow the system. They're going to have this all laid out already. But how many of you guys don't feel like you have that? Whether in your traditional business or home business, you don't. Maybe you feel like you're sort of an orphan in your company. There's a lot of people out there in our industry. There's 35 million people in the home-based business industry in the United States. Probably 95 to 98% of them make less than $500 a month. Most of them make less than $200 a month. So there's a lot of people that just don't have a system. So what I wanted to share with you is a little bit of information on how you can kind of make this system work for you. The first thing you want to do is look at what type of business do you have? What is working for your top people? Some companies out there are designed for home presentations, right? You have a product that smells good or tastes good. It gives you a quick result that is best served by a close, you know, personal relationship kind of thing. Others of you have products that are great sold over the internet through cold leads because there's a wider need for it or whatever the purpose is. So take a look at what you have in your company and what your leadership is actually doing and stick with that. Often I see people that are out there, they've got these beautiful companies that are designed for home parties, but because they don't want to talk to their list of names, they go buy leads. And they try to convert a cold lead in another city, in another state, to start doing home parties because that's what they're being taught to do. They just don't want to do it. What's going to happen? Almost nothing. You're going to be frustrated because you're going against the system that works for your company, right? So find out what your leadership is doing, and then take a look at this. So number one, expose your business. How do you do that? And write down 1 through 7 on your paper. There's a ton of different ways to do this. Your company may already have a system for this. If you don't have a way to expose your business, then start off with list of resources, list of names like Danny talked about today. That will be your best return on investment ever. It doesn't cost you anything. You already have a connection with them, and there's a million scripts in the script book for that, right? And it's also going to, like as Danny said, like everybody next to you has got 2,000 people at least that have, you know, today we probably have way more than that with all the social media and all that kind of stuff, but 2,000 people, every person on your list represents 2,000 people. So what if you only got 1 out of 10 started in your business? And there's 200 people on your list. That's 20 people times 2,000. That's 40,000 people. Four, I don't know, that's a lot. More than you could ever talk to, right? One of my mentors, the company that ended up buying Danny's company, I ended up working for him for 11 years. I ran the international markets for his company in 15 countries around the world. When he was building his business and coming up through the ranks, doing millions of dollars in sales a year, he would require two things from somebody to get started. Number one, well, actually, I'm sorry. He would actually take their check for $4,000, which was the starting thing, and then he would say, okay, I need you to write me a list of 200 names right now. And if they couldn't do it or wouldn't do it, he'd hand them their check back and say, you're not the person I'm looking for. This is not a joke. The list of resources is the most valuable thing that your new prospect has. It's way more valuable than the few hundred bucks of commission you're going to make. Way more valuable, okay? So if you have other ways of getting leads, but you can buy leads, right? If go talk to Paul back here. He's got one of the best quality leads out on the planet. Many of them I've actually been introduced to Danny Johnson through the interview process. He's got a cool, he's actually got a full-blown iPad he's going to be giving away if you just fill out this card and send it over to him. Maybe you've done flyers. Who's done the flyer system? This is, in my opinion, the second best way to get leads. It creates a lead of someone who's calling you, asking you about your product, and they're local to you. You can actually meet them. To buy that lead would be a lot. Jackie probably has a good idea. It's probably 20, 30 bucks maybe, 50 bucks a pop. So you go spend 20 bucks in printing and go spend half an hour putting out a few hundred leads or flyers, and you get a 2 or 3% return on your effort. You know, you get 4, 5, 6 people calling. That's $250 worth of leads that you're getting just from that process. Okay? So write down one type of lead form. So that's either list of names, flyers, buying leads, running some kind of ads, warm market, which is list of resources, social media. There's an art to that, by the way. Don't screw that up. You only get one shot at it. If you don't know how to do it, don't do it. Wait until you know how to do it. Or just out and about. How many of you guys have met people at the hotel or around, right? There's an art to that as well. Did you see Danny do that role-playing on Saturday? Was it Shane? Where is he? Is he still here? Right there, yeah. That was fantastic. That is how you do what the out and about kind of thing. How valuable is that lead of a person that wants your information that you've connected with that, like, man, I totally trust you in that. So write down the one way that you're going to use to get your lead, your expose your business. Write that down. Everybody done that? Get great at that before you move on to something else. The warm market, like your list of resources and cold leads, are like on the other opposite ends of the spectrum, right? So it's hard to do both of those types of things. There's different skill sets. So pick the one that your company uses, that your leadership is using, and get good at that skill, okay, whatever it might be. Number two, initial contact. This is where you start invoking objections. How many of you guys have had a hard time closing people in the past? You get them through the presentation, and then there's like all these objections. When they first met you, did they have those objections? They didn't. So somewhere in between the time that they met you and the time that you asked them for a decision, they've developed a bunch of objections. Who caused that? You did. I did. Right? This is such a great revelation if you can understand that you are invoking their objections, okay, through how you're approaching them, how you're talking to them, how you're presenting to them, right? So look at your process and make sure that you're not doing things that are invoking objections. Make sure you're not doing things that are trying to sell them something. You know how one way you can do this? How many of you guys get the same objection all the time? You know, I can't afford it. It's too expensive. The product's too expensive. I don't think anybody would like, you know, whatever the thing is. Okay, that's where you want to start, because that's probably the objection you're invoking the most, right? So, or you, whatever you're doing is invoking that objection. So figure out how you're invoking that objection. Maybe it's your belief that the company, that your product's too expensive. I mean, guys, I won't ask. But all of us go through that where we doubt, okay, man, this product's $30. It's like, yeah, but it'll cure your cancer. It's like, but it's $30. Anyway. Am I right? Okay. All right, so the next step is, so initial contact is, like, what script are you going to use to make that initial contact? That's what you want to be asking yourself right now. Picking a script from the script book. That's the script you want to get great at. Being great at it just means, number one, you're reading it, and it sounds somewhat close to natural. Okay, that's it. That's all it is. Number three is your presentation. How many of you guys don't do your own presentations? You have someone else do them for you. So there's value in both ways. Having that something around you that you can use to do, for someone else to do the presentation is really awesome. But let me ask you something. If you had your best friend sitting across the table from on a Starbucks coffee shop and they're asking you about your business, what are you going to do? You going to send them to a video? Or are you going to sit there and write on a napkin? Some circles and, you know. I can tell the network marketers, they know what we're talking about. Circles, and then this guy does this, and this guy gets five, and man, you're going to be rich. Okay, but so there's two ways to do it, but I highly recommend that you learn how to do a presentation. It's awesome if you have a leader that can do that, but you will not necessarily always have that leader available to do that. It's a skill that you need to have to be on stage at your big company event. It really, truly is. You need to be able to do a presentation. You may have another one that you use most of the time, and that's awesome because it'll save you some time, but you've got to have that skill to be able to do that. How many of you guys want the secret to a successful presentation? A couple of things. Did you guys catch this when Danny explained it? This trust and respect thing? Basically, how to edify? That works for a presentation, too. So if you have a video presentation that you're using or an online thing or a CD or whatever it is, you can edify that presentation and the people that are in it just as well as you could edify someone that you're about to introduce them to. So most of the time when we did presentation, when we were working with Danny and her system, we had offices and we for a period of time. We did eight business presentations a week. Our goal was to have 10 people at every one. How many people do you have to talk to get 10 people to drive, dress up, bring their resume, and sit down in a seat? A lot, right? So we were talking to literally hundreds of people per day to get 10 people to come to our business presentation at 1 o'clock Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. How many of you guys are doing less than 10 or 8 presentations a day or a week? Right? Most people, right? But one of the things was that when people would walk into our office and we would be bouncing people back and forth, so we'd have 3 or 4 people in the office that were working their business, we would edify that person and introduce them to them. They would then take the ball and edify and introduce them to someone else. By the time they sat down at the seat, they had already decided if they were going to join our company or not. And 90% of the time, I want to be part of this. Because they were so excited about what they were seeing and hearing. The way we treated each other, the edification of the people around us was, well, I want to be part of this. Because how many don't have that in their jobs? Right? Most people don't have that. They're like, they drudge into work. How's it going? Oh, my kid. She's pregnant again. You know, whatever, right? Just, ugh. They hate their life, exactly right. But they walk into an opportunity presentation or one of your companies, you have a traditional business, and what does the person that's at the counter do? Are they smiling and happy and asking and informing your client, or are they looking down? What do you want? I made a phone call to a company that was referred to me a couple days ago, and the guy answers the phone. And I could barely understand him. And then somebody interrupts him to take his pizza order for lunch. And he said, hang on a second. Like, but I couldn't understand him. He's like, ugh. I'm like, all right, I got to go. But my point is, edifying what you're going to take their client to is going to give you much, much better results than not doing that. It's just a huge thing that will help you a ton in the success that you're going to have. Then it comes to time to close. So again, write down what your presentation is. Okay, we're building your system here, right? So first of all, how are you going to expose your business? What script are you going to use for initial contact? What are you using for your presentation? But in the meantime, if you're using a recorded one or someone else's presentation, be learning how to do that. 2 weeks after I signed up with Dani Johnson and her company, I was in front of the room doing a presentation for her people. 2 weeks. Had I not sat down and taken notes and learned the verbiage and learned the outline for that presentation, I would have flailed miserably. But people still signed up because we'd already edified people. People were there excited. And then, of course, Dani would got up and cleaned up my mess, which was great. So, but the presentation, learn how to do that, but figure out what your presentation is. And then on the closing is, what is your closing script? So make sure you've got that closing script ready to go and that you know how to handle objections. How many of you guys know how to handle objections? Dani talked about it today. Ask, right? Then what? What comes next every time? But what happens when you ask? What's their response? An objection. Don't be scared of that objection. It is coming. Okay? So many of us don't ask the closing question because we don't want to hear an objection. We don't know how to handle that. So what happens next? Hit them with a story, right? And then you ask, at the end of your story, you ask that closing question again. So you want to make a little bit or a lot. Well, I don't think I have the time. You know what? I don't know about that. All I know is my friend Krista Smith has 15 kids and has been, building her business and now is a multimillionaire because of it. So how much do you want to make, a little bit or a lot? Well, I don't really have the money. Well, I know this guy, Brian, he was totally broke. He was $500,000 in debt and he found enough money to get trained, get himself started, and he made over $2,000 in his first 10 hours. Well, okay, I'll give it a try. All right? I want to make a lot. So that's it. Just have more stories than they have objections. They're only going to give you 3 or 4 objections. That's all they can think of, right? They're not that smart. They just aren't. They're going to give you the ones that they've heard in the past, probably, okay? Dani calls it follow-up. I call it on-the-job training. This works for both traditional corporations as well as home business. After you've caught somebody started, they are not going to go and do everything you tell them to do. They're still being sold. They're still deciding if this is for them or not. You have to upgrade their mindset through this entire process. Because when you upgrade their mindset, what happens? It upgrades their belief in what they're doing. How many of you guys believe more today in the company that you're building your business with than you did the day you started? Because you've been involved, because you've had the products work for you, because you've made some money, because you've gone to a big corporate event, whatever, your belief is upgraded, right? What happens after that happens? What comes from a strong belief? Activity. You start doing something. You believe now that you can go get your goals, you can go get your dreams, and you start doing something to achieve those things. What happens then? That's when the results come. That's when you get some. You go through the numbers. Your 33% closing ratio gives you financial independence. He didn't start off with 33%, and he probably may never get dramatically better. But is it good enough? Heck yeah, it's awesome. All right. On-the-job training follow-up is not a time to stop what you're doing that's making you money and sit down with your new guy that signed up. I got one signed up. So awesome. Come here. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna learn all about our oils. There's how many oils we got? 175 of them? Great. Okay, we're going to go through every single one and learn exactly what they do. What happens? How many people could you have talked to if you were teaching somebody about 170? What? And not just oils. I'm not just making fun of oil people, but kind of am. But vitamin people are the same way, right? The point is that you're allowing your new prospect, you're giving them the privilege to follow you as you go out and build your future. Jackie O'Quinn does not stop and teach his new person about everything the first day. He says, I'm going to allow you to listen in on what I'm doing. That's an opportunity that's pretty hard. Like if I just walked up to Jackie and said, hey man, can I listen in? Probably would say no. But if I'm in his business and I'm trying, I'm eager, I'm going to go help grow my business and that's going to help his business. Yeah, of course, he wants me to be successful, right? So you're giving your new prospect the opportunity and the honor and the privilege of following you along as you move forward, right? So follow-up, mobilization, on-the-job training, whatever you want to call it, has got to be part of your business. Danny used something called the three-meeting plan. You need to learn what that is. It's not what you think it is. It is the way to generate more free leads than you could ever imagine. It's a way to make your new person money. Our number one goal when we first got started, somebody started in that follow-up section, was to make them $100 in their first 48 hours. How many of you guys did not make $100 in your first 40 hours in your home business, right? What if you had? How many of the people that are not here today because they didn't believe it was going to work for them? Part of the reason is they didn't make any money. What if you could show them how the money's made inside of the first 48 hours? Would that improve their belief in what you're doing? Heck yeah. We would even, if they didn't sign up, they didn't have the $39 to get started, but they were willing to put people in front of us, do the party, do the presentation. We get somebody signed up from their list of names, their warm markets, what are they going to do? You want me to make the commission or do you want to make it? Well, I need it really bad. It's like, great, I need $4,000 from you and you can make an $800 commission. Okay. Magically, they find the money, right? It's amazing. All right. The big point here is figure out what is your on-the-job training method. Are you doing a three-meeting plan? Are you doing three-way calls? In our corporate world right now at DannyJohnson.com, we're building up our marketing team. I actually pay my staff 30 minutes a day. Every single person on our staff gets paid 30 minutes a day to learn something. And we have training material available that is world class, not from Danny, from other places, on specialized knowledge that they need for their job. 30 minutes a day they spend building their knowledge. Okay, that's our on-the-job training. That's our follow-up. Okay, it doesn't take time away from me. I'm not stopping what I'm doing, but my people, and myself included, are getting trained and learning something more, right? So put together some kind of follow-up mobilization-type program in your business. Duplication. This is what made our business work. Duplication was the daily, the weekly, the monthly structure that you have to your business. In our case, we had one business presentation at least per day, sometimes two. We then had a weekly Saturday training. We then had a monthly First Steps to Success or some kind of bigger training, right? We have the same thing in our marketing department today, something similar to that. So what is your process, your duplication process? And the idea behind this process is that you want to take people through the steps that they need to know to become good at what they do. This is where people say, I am going to be successful because they now have confidence in their ability to do the business. 2 weeks after I got started with Danny, I was doing that first business presentation. Maybe a month later, I was doing part of the Saturday training. Maybe 6 months later, I had people in First Steps of Success, and she actually allowed me on stage to share my testimony. That is moving through that process, right? So what is your process to duplication? Chad, can you throw this up on the screen? These seven steps that we're talking about right here, we have, scroll up a little bit. In the pro member content, each of them is organized, and behind each one of those buttons is somewhere between 20 and 50 hours of Danny Johnson training content on each one. So if you want to have some help on how to duplicate in your business, go click on duplication. Okay, and in there she's going to talk about all the things that she did to duplicate leadership in her business. All right, this is a critically important thing. How many of you guys still maybe have questions on closing? Right? If you need help with that, boom, that's one place you can go for there. Okay, that's, again, smarternetworker.com, which is Danny Johnson's home-based business training center. And a pro member, which is $99 per year, if you have one of these red cards for Insider and you are a home business entrepreneur or just a business entrepreneur and you want to tap into this content, 150 hours of content, just fill out the back of it, cross out Insider and put Pro. All the other benefits are the same. So you're still going to get the MP3s through this. You're still going to get discounts on Fast Track and a number of other things happen over there. Okay, so this is very much like Insider. It's just home business focused and a ton of content in there. All right. Leadership development, my last point. There's two ways you can do this. I mentioned earlier that we, in our marketing team, we have a portal for specialized knowledge. You, if you're in a home-based business or in some industry that has a big yearly convention, monthly convention, how many of you guys have been to those? Your big company convention, right? They have like lasers and like, you know, lasers, you know, they've got all this cool stuff, right? It's a big, big, huge show, right? It's designed to do something very specific, and that is to build belief in what that company is all about. They cannot possibly teach you the skills that you are learning here this weekend. They can't do it, right? Why? Because, number one, they're going to launch a new product, right? They're going to launch some kind of comp plan enhancement, which is just kind of rearranging how they split up the dollar, right? They're gonna launch some kind of cruise, usually, but some kind of trip, right? Some kind of promotion to get you working, right? They're gonna do a ton of recognition. They're gonna walk every single person that sold anything across the stage, and you can yell and scream for hours, right? They're gonna have a couple of leadership people get up there and share their stories, and they're gonna have your corporate guys get up there and sell you the vision of where that company's going. They don't have time to do what Danny Johnson is doing today. So these both of these events are critical. You need to go to those events because they do. You leave there believing stronger than ever that you're in the right car, right? You're in the right car. But if you want to learn how to drive it like a pro, you got to be here. And not only do you have to be here, you need to be here with people. Over the last several years, we've had some massive stories come out of this event where people in companies that are doing well. Krista Smith is a great example. There's a bunch of you here. There's several of you that will be coming to the next event as well. But they've put in sometimes thousands of people through this event. Jackie O'Quinn's is one of those. Brought hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people through these events for the years and years. And their business has grown crazy because now you've developed a leader. A leader, in my book, is somebody that will do this business with or without you. How many of you would love to have an army of people that if you chose to put your head up your butt and go join another company would still do this business? That's a leader. Somebody that doesn't need your input to go build that business. Building even four or five of those, 10 of those, is going to make you a millionaire in some companies. Building hundreds of those through this system right here will change your life. It will change the lives of people around you. It will change a world. We're going out to change 100 million lives over the next 20 years. What does that look like? It looks like some of it is the people sitting in this room. Some of it, it's the people sitting in Nicaragua digging trash, food out of that. That was one of the most powerful experiences. Who was with us in Nicaragua? This is not something that normally motivates me. It really isn't. Most of my life, I've been motivated by money. And when we drove that bus through the garbage dump that was up against the fence of a cemetery, which was right next door to a sewage plant, to get to the houses of the people that we have been building, and the stench and the dust and the dirt and the smoke, as you look down at this dead dog rotting in the water that's flowing into where they live and drink from, and it's hitting you in the face and the eyes, and you're literally having to wipe this crap literally out of your face, you start to change. It affects you. It puts some purpose into what you're doing. Those 100 million people that are out there, they count. Those people in the trash dumps, they count. The people here in these seats count. We have the ability to go out and do something that's going to change those lives. Put that, yeah, your company might have a charity that they support. You might have a charity you support. I highly, highly, highly recommend that you put yourself in a situation to hug one of those kids who you've just helped build their house. They don't know you from Adam. They're not saying thank you. They just know something's better a little bit. And then to go 100 yards down the road and see this massive need for even more. It puts purpose into what you do. So I hope that you were able to write a basic strategy. If you need help with that, please give me a call. Your best way is to get me through email, brian@smarternetworker.com. My phone number, you can catch us on the website at Smarter Networker. There's a lot of ways you can get a hold of me. We would be happy to sit down with you and help develop this for you. We'd be happy to do presentations for you. We do team calls all the time to get in front of your people, to introduce them to the concept of coming to DannyJohnson.com and becoming a professional in their business. How many would like an army of motivated, purpose-driven professionals? Get them here. Please help me welcome America's favorite millionaire, and my coach and mentor, Danny Johnson.
All right. That's awesome. Thank you. All right. Let's keep going. Can you give Brian a hand? He did a great job. I was getting all motivated back there. Okay, so we left off with the conversation of closing, right? Let's talk about handling some objections. One, you have to figure out what objections it is that you're actually getting. Actually, before I go into that, how many of you made phone calls on your lunch break and started to recruit? How did that feel? He's stealing your people? He looked at your list. Well, then you better create another list. If I know you, you will create another secret list, Carmen. For sure. No question. So who made phone calls already? I want to know who closed a deal. What's that? You got two people? Okay, but who did you close? No, how many did you close? Two. Janet Bloodworth closed two people at lunch. She wants to know if you got them registered. So Janet Bloodworth got two people registered at lunch. What? Closed her husband. That's a big deal right there. That's a big deal. So she closed one. Janet Bloodworth closed two. Who else? One husband. She closed one. How many did you close? No, I said, how many did you close? Krista Smith. Krista Smith, how many did you close? Krista Smith, zero. Get the number. What's the number? What's the number? No. I want to know. How many did you close at lunch? Okay, I want to tell you what I'm doing right now. That is called wiggle room. That is called comfort zone. And Danny, her coach, is squeezing the heck out of her to get her back to results. Results, results, results. That's what the only thing you could focus on when you left your first steps. The only thing I could focus on when I was homeless was what? Results. That's it. Results is the only thing that changes the bottom line. And we all can have lots of conversations. We can all get busy with lots of different things. We can all feel very, very purposed, especially when we have plenty of money. But it's when we don't have money, when we're hungry, that today, if I don't make a sale, we don't eat. Do you understand? So if you hit your business and your opportunity with that same thing, whatever it is that you're focused on, you hit it that same way, you're going to have dynamic results happen for you. So who has, she closed somebody. She registered two people. Okay, who registered somebody? You registered one. She registered one. You registered two. Registered one. Stand up, everyone who registered at least one person at lunch. Okay, look around. If you registered more than one, go ahead and stand up also. More than one. Sorry, the ones, go ahead and still stand. You know what they did? They followed directions. They implemented immediately. They learned in the first and second session, and they went to work. Isn't that crazy? That's who you're looking for. That's who you're looking for, are people that are going to activate, get busy, stay focused, and get it done. So they just set the example for that. They got a sale while everybody else was taking a rest. The rest of you are behind. How many, Sean?
Excuse me?
You said leave nothing on the court. You said to me to go for the kill. How many?
Six after next week.
What does that mean? How many this week will you close?
This week is occupied. So next week, I'll have six.
You don't have a single phone call that you can make this week?
No, I'm focused on something
else. Excuse me, you're doing the same exact thing that Chris Smith is doing. How many this week, Harper?
Six.
This week?
I'll have six.
Okay.
Nine.
Okay. And next week? Jackie, I want to show you what's going on right now, okay? I'm going to show you something. You see, I am actually building something right in front of you. Whether or not you're crabbing it is a whole nother story, okay? So here's the deal. This is my team. You is my team. Whether you want to be on my team or not, you're on my team, okay? Now, there's various different levels of degree of seriousness on a team. There are some who choose to be bench warmers on a team. There are some who choose to be the water boy on a team. And there are some who choose to get in the game. And there are some that choose, that are in the game, they choose to score. So your team, just as my team, Stallings, how many? Huh? You ain't moving nowhere. How many this week? Why seven?
One's already closed and completes a couple.
Oh, so one's already closed and that completes a couple. Cool. So seven. So here's the deal. He's talking right now. He's on the phone. Okay, no, I'm not kidding you. What I'm doing right now is how I led a team. And see, if you're not leading, no one is following. And if you're not telling people where to go, they're going nowhere. And if there isn't something that has to get done today, they're not doing anything today. Do you understand? For a team to win, and you have a team, you literally have a team. Some on the team want to warm the bench. Some on the team want to water the team. Some on the team actually want to play the game. And there's some on the team that actually want to win. Who you're looking for is who want to win. That's who you're looking for. You have to look to identify who the winners are and who the bench warmers are. Who are the water boys? Who are the people that want to just play the game? Okay? But there's some that they have to win. They have to win. They have to win. They have to win. But if you don't give them what they're supposed to do, what are we doing to keep score? How do we win at this game? They have to know what that is. And so most people lead without giving any direction on what is the target, what are we going to do? Brandy, how many? By when? By Friday. Okay? So if you say you're on this team and you're going to decide what part you want to play on this team, you're going to make that decision. That's up to you. And it doesn't matter if it's one, if it's two, I don't care what the number is. I just care that there's a number. Do you hear me? I don't care what the number is. I just care that there's a number. There has to be a focus and something has to get done. If the team does not make an agreement on what we're going to do and what the final number and the final score is going to be, we don't go anywhere and we don't do anything. It's the same with paying off your debt. How much debt do you have to pay off and by when do you want to be done with it already? They're like, wow, yes. Listen, when I first started in business, and after I got out of my initial whatevers, okay, my initial being homeless and all that nonsense, in my second year, I'd had set a goal that I wanted to have $100,000 in cash that I wouldn't touch. Just an extra 100 grand sitting out there for security or for investment or for whatever. $100,000. That was my next goal. So after the goal of, you know, $4,000 cash in Nordstrom's, after the goal of, you know, whatever, the dry paying cash for Mercedes, all that other stupid crap. My next big, audacious, crazy, wild, hairy goal was $100,000 in cash somewhere. Why? It was just a number. It was a target. If you aim at nothing, you'll surely hit it. You aim at nothing, you'll surely hit it. This is daily. Are you aiming at nothing daily and hoping that in a year you end up with something? Are you aiming at nothing daily and hoping in a year to get something? Think about it. How much debt are you going to pay off this week? How many prospects are you going to talk to this week? How many presentations are you going to do this week? How many closes are you going to have this week? When you determine yourself like that, it's come hell or high water. I'm doing this. So then it's about, see, you see what I'm saying? When I'm hearing all this, that means you're not focused. That's what you're showing me. You're not focused. It's like, get on the floor and give me 20 push-ups. What will you do? Oh, she, Brandon's on the floor. I don't care if they're on your knees. Do you see what I'm saying? That's called focus. Do you understand? That's called focus. Oh, there it is. You go, girl. It's the chicks that got off their butts and got on the floor and are doing. She's still going. And she's in a skirt. Awesome. Awesome. Look at that. She hears the term, get off your butt and give me 20. She gets off her butt. She goes 20. She just got out of the military yesterday. So do you understand? The kind of focus that these two women, the kind of focus that just had. Here I said, get off your butt and give me 20. They were like, done.
21.
No, it's okay. It's okay. But just to let you know, she's pregnant. It's okay. The pregnant woman did 21. Anyway, my point is what those two just demonstrated accidentally without me even knowing that they actually would was how I built my business. Every day. Totally focused. I have one thing to do. Get a customer. I have one thing to do. To get a sale. Period. How am I to get that sale today was not the question I had. Not how. Not what I'm working on, not what I'll eventually do, not what I hope to do, not what I will pray will happen. No, this is what I will get done today. So most people have no target today, but they got a target 5 years from now, hoping that somehow 5 years from now is going to come to pass with no target today, with no target this week, with no target this month. So don't you dare leave this event without a target for today. What will you accomplish before you lay your head down tonight? And then before you lay your head down tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Are you hearing me? And the next day. It's too easy to get caught up in what I call management mode. All this other peripheral crap that makes you think like you're doing something. But at the end of the year, you ended up with what? Goose egg, nothing. And then you end up talking yourself into something different. And what you talk yourself into is this. Oh, well, you know, we're doing pretty good. Well, I'm content. No, you're bored. And you're justifying it. You're bored and you're justifying it. No, it has to be a daily target, come hell or high water. This is getting done today. Why am I asking these questions? Same reason. What, how many this week? If you find yourself, look at, you see the him and hun, all this? That's a lack of commitment. Water boy, water girl, or you said the kill shot. Here it is. Here it is. What do you want to do? 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 Y'all tell me you want to change lives. Really? How many will you close today? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I'm doing it.
What I'm going to do.
Not what you're going to do. Who's in for one this week? Now, you know what happens when you give yourself too much time? You don't get it done. When you give yourself too much time, you don't get it done. Where there is no urgency, largely there is no results. That's the reality. Where there is no urgency, there is no results. So it's wait till next time. Get to the next event as soon as you can. That is not a close. That is weak suck. No, it's I'm specifically looking for who is going to do it today. Today. That if my life was dependent on it, I would get this job done today. Do you know what I'm saying? If my daughter's life depended on it, I would get this done today. It is so easy to let a bunch of crap get in the way of today. So if you really want what you say you want in the next 12 months, it starts today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Carmen O'Gwynn, can you believe that Janet Bloodworth showed your ass up? Janet Bloodworth. Janet Bloodworth, who, by the way, is a single woman. You just got two more? Carmen. Janet Bloodworth. Janet, you know who she is. No, I'm simply saying there is a single woman, mother of four, over there who followed directions. I'm not saying you didn't. I heard you were on the phone back there. That's what I heard. Huh? I know they're all grown now. But I'm simply saying, you gotta watch out for the quiet ones. You gotta watch out for the sneaky ones. You gotta watch out for the ones who are just gonna go do versus think and talk. Get it? So you're looking for the doers who want results today. You got to get your head wrapped around results, 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 results. Not the pattern, not the path, not the how-to. No, just get the result. The how-to works itself out. The how-to works itself out. All right, so handling objections. You got to identify your objections, and you need to have an answer for them before that objection leaves their mouth. You got to know what they're going to be. There's only a few that are ever talked about. Generally, they all fit in a couple of different categories, and that's it. Best way, in my opinion, to handle all objections is with stories and coming back to the closing question again. So if they say, as we ended this the last session when I was up here, if they say, I don't have the money, or I don't have the time, or I'm too busy, or I got other things going on, or I'm not sure if this is going to work for me, it's a really simple way to answer these objections. And by the way, I teach this stuff, and when people use it on it, it works every time. Why? Because it is psychological. The human mind can't say no to something they want. They want it, they can't say no to it. So either if they're saying no, it's because you're selling them something you want. Do you get it? You're selling something you want instead of what they want. The human mind can't say no to what they want. So you find what they want. So if they give you an objection, okay, and by the way, some people will just because they think they're supposed to. Some people might ask questions just because they think they're supposed to. That's just what some people will do. How you handle those questions, real simple. You know what? I hear what you're saying, but all I know is sell the result. What's the result? Story, 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 story. So here's the closing question again. So are you ready to be like one of these people I just finished talking about or not? Are you ready or not? Choice is yours. Great, welcome aboard. Here's your application. You literally have got to bring people to the place of making the decision. And guess what? Don't be attached to the decision. Yes or no, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I just need to get on to the next one. If you're not it, I need to get on to the one that is. Because there is somebody out there who is crying at night, waiting for their life to change. They're looking for an opportunity where they will never suffer financially again. They are looking for an opportunity to get their life back. They're looking for an opportunity for a path for them to take them to where they want to go. They're looking for that opportunity for their life to never, ever be the same because they're sick and tired of being in a boring, okay marriage. They're sick and tired of dealing with the debt. They're sick and tired with a career that is only draining them. They are sick and tired of being frustrated every day of their life. They're looking for something that's going to dynamically change all those areas of their life so that they can come to a place of being satisfied and happy and feeling like they're on top of it instead of being suffocated by it. So either that's you or it's the next person I'm talking to. So which one is it going to be? How many of you want that to be you? Put up your hand if that's you. If what I'm saying to you is making you go, me, you don't even know what I'm asking or closing you for. I could be selling microphones, widgets, water, notebooks, doesn't matter. The psychology behind a human being is they want to rise up. Yes, they want to rise up. They don't want to stay stagnant. So it doesn't matter what the product is, what the service is. It's, listen, I'm looking for the one who's deadly serious. If I was a chiropractor, this is how I would do that deal. Listen, as you can imagine, there are thousands of people in this town, and there's lots of places to go to get their neck cracked. But that's not the kind of relationship I'm looking for. I'm looking for those who are deadly serious about their health. People who actually want to live strong, healthy lives so that they can go after whatever it is that is in them to go after. Now, I'm the kind of person that I don't want to deal with people who just want to constantly stay in chronic pain. I know that doesn't seem feasible or right, but the fact is I want to see you strong and healthy. So strong and healthy that when people ask you, how do you stay so strong and healthy, you go ahead and tell them, my doctor actually put me on a plan and a system that has kept me this way. So I don't know if you're the kind of person that wants to have that life or not. That choice is yours. But if you're looking to have a long-term relationship of having to be in here every single week, go find the doctor next door. I'm looking for somebody who wants to be healthy. And in your good health, you'd be willing to tell other people where you got it from. Fair enough? So the question is, will you follow the directions I give you? You don't even know what the instructions are that I'm going to give you, but you're already committing. Do you see that? Why? Because I'm leading with the need. And you want your need filled. I'm not leading with my system. I'm not leading with my vitamins. I'm not leading with my essential oils, which I believe in all of those things. I'm not leading with my workout videos. I believe in all of those things. But none of those things cause people to jump farther, faster, or more committed than what their need is. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Objections. You will come to a day where you stop provoking objections. You'll come to a place where you stop that. Carmen, I want you to go at what you're doing like you did when I met you in 2007. Okay? People need you.
Yes.
They absolutely need you. And you have the option to play around. You got a nice, secure life today. Not a whole lot of responsibility of an office and a business and all that kind of stuff. But it's time to go kill it. Do you hear me? You sure? Clearly positive. Or have you been gelded like a horse? Like a lot of women are after they have children. Oh, excuse me? There was a luncheon yesterday, and somehow you weren't in it. So you're working? Really? What are you working at? It's not how you built your first business. Right? Mm-hmm. I think partially because the first business was an animate object. And this business, be careful, you'll end up building to be codependent if you're not careful. This one's emotional. The last one wasn't. Makes sense? Yeah, those of you in emotional businesses, watch yourself. If you don't have a good system in place, you get drained. So objections. You are always going to be handling objections. You are always going to be holding people's toes to the line. You are always going to be holding people accountable. You're going to do it in love. And there are some times when you're going to have to be strong, and there's sometimes you're going to have to fire people or force them to quit. And don't be afraid to do that. There are some people that will fire themselves, and it's good when that happens. It's really good when people fire themselves. But you have to hold a line, and you have to decide, who am I looking to work with? Am I looking to work with whiners? Am I looking to work with lazy people? Am I looking to work with people that cannot keep a commitment? Am I looking for people that are looking for a free ride? Who am I specifically looking for? As you establish, and that, by the way, that goes for even the kind of friends you want to hang out with. Do you hear me? That goes for the friends you want to hang out with. Some of you need to leave here and go interview for the kind of people you want to surround your life with. Because most of us in this room, and where I came from, the people I was surrounding myself kept me where I was. So I had to change who I was hanging out with and be very strategic on who I wanted to have conversations with on a weekly basis. It doesn't mean that I don't have my family. No, I do. But if my family doesn't want to go along and do something with their life, I'm not going to give a whole lot of extra time in those places. We'll see you at the family reunion. See, maybe, you know, for a birthday or something along the way, or we'll have some little bit of contact here and there. If there's not some kind of like-mindedness, if you don't want to get on the train that's going west, I'm sorry, I'm going west. I'm on a mission. So if there are people in your life that are toxic, you need to not have a lot of time with them. If there's people in your life that are going somewhere, you need to spend time with those people. Why? Excuses are going to cloud your head all over again, and excuses are objections. Objections are unanswered questions. So when somebody asks you a question saying, like, you know, has someone died on this? How do I know this is going to work for me? Your answer is what? Story, 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 story. Man, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. In fact, it reminds me of, bam, testimonial. I hear what you're saying. It reminds me of testimonial, 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 testimonial. So, do you want to be like that guy or not? Are you in or out? You can say that. And by the way, and it's okay if they're out. That's fine. Like I said, it's good to let some people go. Because if they're not committed, they're not on your team. They're not qualified to be on your team. So, what is your qualification for your team? Do you hear me? There has to be a qualifier for your team. It can't be just everybody is allowed on your team. Thus, the application, by the way, for the Hot Marriage Secrets. When I do an intensive coaching program, there's an application process that we have to go through. I have to know what their why is in order for me to take them across the line. Why? Because if you're just curious, I ain't working with you. I ain't wasting my time. If you're just excited, I'm not going to work with you. But if you're deadly serious, now let's go to work. If you're willing to drop it and give me 20, let's go. You know how to follow directions? Let's go. If you don't, sorry. We can't work together. So what's your standard for working with people? And I'm not coming from a place of arrogance. It's a place of what's healthy. Meaning the person who is not serious and just curious, being in that environment will drive them crazy. That's not healthy for the curious person. Did you hear me? That's not healthy for them. The serious person, the one that's like deadly serious about accomplishing something, this is the right environment for them. They would die in a curious place. Do you understand? So there has to be a standard, and you got to establish what that is and train your people to hold that same line. We're about results here. We're about relationship and results here. But if there's relationship and there's no results, we're not doing our job. Do you know how many people out there in the world are doing relationship with no results? Think about that. How many people are doing relationship with no results? Most. Most are doing relationship with no results. This has to turn into a result or it's a waste of time. So, and what determines whether or not it will? That's based on what you do. What you do has got to produce a result. And a result is what the prospect wants. It's what the world wants. It's what the world was wanting to vote into office. Right? It's the thing that determines whether or not we click add to cart is what is the promise? The promise is a result. So what promise are you bringing to the marketplace? Okay. All right. So I'm going to take another couple. No, we're taking a break. Go pee. You just got one? Look at her. There's no feeling like that feeling of getting one. Okay. So commitment. Where there is no commitment, there's no action. Where there is no action, there is no results. Got it? Your results are dictated by your commitment. And if you're not committed, you cannot close anybody. Did you hear me? You can't close anyone if you are not committed yourself. Young lady, 18 years old, comes up to me and says, I want to be the next Danny Johnson. I said, well, what are you going to do? And she gave me a long list of things that she's going to do. And the list was a good list. I'm going to listen to Job Dom, and I'm going to listen to this, and I'm going to plug in every day for hours a day. Okay, that's all great. However, none of that is going to do something. That's not going to give me a result. She says, so what are you saying? I need to get a job? Yes. This week. So tomorrow morning, or the first day that you're home, your full-time job is getting a job. So you're not going to spend the first week listening to Job Domination. You leave here and you go home and just spend days listening and not doing. I'm going to hunt you down. I'm going to pull my belt off and I'm going to beat you. You better not do that. Do you understand? What you have to leave here is do, not talk about doing, not think about doing, not doing more research, Emeralds. You just spent 3 days in research. Did you hear me? You just spent 3 days in it. Okay, now this is where results get produced. This is where we go to create my story. Your next story is my first week out of First Steps. This is what I did. And the did has to be a result. Whether it's, I paid off X amount of debt. How many? Did you really just give me an answer? What? How many? It's really simple. Thank you. What was it? Zero. Thank you. So isn't that interesting? How many? I just peed. I didn't ask you if you just peed. I asked you how many. Can you see how we do that? Do you see what I'm doing? This is about a focus on a result. I just peed. I needed to call my dad. I needed to do this. I needed no shit. How many? It's a number I'm looking for. Zero. P is not a number. Right? You're getting it. Waking you up. Okay. So here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So she says, you want me to get a job? Yeah. Yes. Go get a job. So your first day back at home, you're out of the house at 8 o'clock dressed appropriately. You have learned enough here this weekend. You've got job domination in your hands. You're going to knock on doors. You're going to call your list of resources before you're home. Before you're home, you're going to call your list of resources and say, do you know anyone that's hiring? Do you know of anyone that is looking for a hungry, teachable, hardworking, determined, focused, consistent individual? Can you tell me about your company? Tell me about your company. I want to learn a little bit about it so I can determine whether or not this is the place that I would like to make a full-time commitment with so that I can help the organization grow. So her job, leaving here, is for 8 hours a day until she has a place of employment. Her full-time job is finding a job. We have so many people out of work right now, and what are they doing?
Well, I put an application today. I filled out a few applications online.
That is not going to get you a job. It's not going to get you a job. You got to chase it down if you plan on getting a result. So leaving here, what will you do? What is your action plan? When it comes to, like, for example, in the first business that I made my first million in, when it came to bringing people on board, I basically recruited sales reps. And sales reps went out and went crazy with sales. And why? Because it was a simple system. They knew exactly every day what they were supposed to do. Read, pick up the phone, dial a number, read a script. Bring them to a presentation, read another script. So where people get locked up is, well, how do I get people to show up? Call more people. Call more people. Well, I already did. Shut up and follow directions. Keep doing it. You keep doing that activity, you're going to get a result. You can fine tune the result. As the more numbers you do, the better you're actually going to get at it. That's how that works. Okay. The more you stick to the script, the more results you're going to get. When you veer away from it, you're not going to get the same kind of results. As soon as you start getting creative with it, guess what? Now you've completely forgotten your place altogether. So if you're doing the same activity every day, every day, every day, staying focused on that thing, you're going to produce a result. All right, so we have just a few minutes left before we're going to be winding this thing down. I'm going to take two more questions. Shane, really? I'll answer the question. Okay. Military girl, come on up. Come on, both of you, one at a time. I mean, together at the same time.
First off, thank you so much for your leadership. Amazing, amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for serving in the military and being on the front lines.
It was an honor.
Thank you.
It has been an honor.
What is your name, love?
My name is Melissa Rodriguez.
Melissa Rodriguez.
Nice to meet you.
Danny Johnson.
Nice to meet you, Danny.
Yes.
Okay, well, my question is, just so you guys know, I just fired my upline. I called my upline. That was my first one. I was like, are you serious? Because he doesn't have results. So I was like, you got to get here. And he's like, you don't have results, man. He's like, yeah, I don't. And I was like, you're fired. I'm sorry, I'm a Ruby. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm working on it still. But it feels good to fire your upline. It does. Good things are coming out of that, honestly. Okay.
So I highly don't recommend you do that, leaving here. We don't want him to hate us.
Yeah, I told them, like, hey, anytime you want to call me, like, you know, you're more than welcome. I did leave that door open.
Okay, what's your question?
Okay, my question is, I want to, you said basically to leave a, you got to focus on the other person, right?
Yes.
You're focused on the other person.
Yes.
That's absolutely fine. I get that. You're focusing on that person. Now,
hold on. So if it was your upline, what were you focusing on?
Totally me. Totally selfish. I'm a selfish prick. I confess it. I'm sorry. Please for my language. Okay.
Okay. So you're going to call your upline afterwards. You're going to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me.
Yes,
I was too aggressive. I apologize.
Yes.
In fact, can you please tell me, I'm just really curious. Tell me, first of all, thank you so much for getting me started. And introducing me to an opportunity where I can learn how to become an entrepreneur.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yes.
So please forgive me for what I said.
Yes.
Okay. And I would love to hear why you actually got started. Once you find his why.
I did. I found it. And then I just went back into selfishness. It was crazy. I'm so sorry. It's like it comes out. Like,
it's okay.
Okay.
A year from now, it won't be as bad. I promise. Okay. When you go back and you find his why, now you're going to just tell him stories.
Yes.
After story, after story, after story, and say, so do you want to become one of those stories or not?
Yes.
Okay. If he says no, then say, awesome. I'm going to go find some people that want to. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bless you.
I will.
All right. So what's the question?
Okay. The question is, so I'm focused on that person, right?
Yes.
I need to find a balance whenever it's in Jen's mastery.
Uh-huh.
You are mirroring the person.
Yes.
Right? So I have problems of being, I'm way to myself, right? Or I'm way to a sapphire sometimes, way too much of that person trying to mirror that person. So
how many people are you going to recruit today?
5.
And you don't have to worry about anything of what you're talking about.
Okay.
You're complicating it.
Yes.
Simplify. Just go put somebody in front of that presentation and read the closing script. If they give you any trouble, you simply say, man, I hear your concerns. And it kind of reminds me of story, story, story. So are you ready to be like one of those stories or not? And guess what's going to happen? The more you do that, the more you will naturally be able to, without trying, be able to mirror the person you're talking to. Got it?
Got it. I'm getting this audio over and over again.
Pass the mic.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Hi again.
Hi, my name's Shane.
Hi, Shane. I'm Danny. Nice to meet you.
This is my first time here.
Yes.
I bought the script books before I got here. I didn't even know who you were.
Okay.
And then I'm here. I have helped produce 2 feature films.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm working on my own.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest project I've ever done in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I would like you, if you would, please role play with me which script to use to get an investor to give me at minimum $100,000.
Okay.
And it's something that doesn't exist until after I have all
You're the guy that wrote that question.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so let's go back to Saturday, okay?
Okay.
Did I sell something that existed?
No.
So does that matter?
No.
So when you say it doesn't exist,
yet.
You're making an issue out of something that's a non-issue, because are you or are you not going to make this film?
I am going to make this film.
I'm going to ask it again. Are you or are you not going to succeed in making this film?
I am going to succeed in making this film.
So does it exist?
It does.
You and I read the same success book. Treat it as though it is already.
Okay.
Walk it out as though it is already. So tell me, what kind of investors are you looking for?
I'm looking for investors that believe in producing a film that is going to have a message that is going to touch people around this world.
So what kind of investor are you looking for? Shorten the statement you just gave me. What kind of an investor are you? Are you looking for an investor who believes in producing? Or are you looking for an investor who cares about a message that changes the world?
I believe I'm looking for an investor that believes in a message that we're going to share with the world that is going to plant seeds.
See, I hear a lot of agana, 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 agana.
Now I know what Ryan felt like. Okay.
What result is the investor wanting?
You don't know, which is why you are not picking up the phone.
Okay.
So how do you know what an investor is looking for?
Well, investor is looking for a rate of return on their money.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So ask me again. What do they want? Gotcha. I'm looking for an...
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for an investor that wants... Can I say the details of it?
Well, if you tell me the details of it, it's kind of like that young man telling me that he sells ketosis.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm looking for an investor that wants to make money.
Isn't that what investors want?
Okay.
Right? So how is the investor going to make money? You need to get off the pot and start.
Investor's going to make money by investing in this film.
No.
Talk slower to me.
He said, talk slower to me. I am. There's been a lot of pauses here, buddy. Okay. Okay. So, number one.
Yes.
You don't really know what the investor wants until you form the investor. Okay. Right? So until you ask the investor what the investor actually is looking for, you have no idea what to pitch them. So if the investor is looking for a return on his investment, the reason why you couldn't answer that question was because you haven't even figured that out yet. Okay. How much money are they? What you're looking for is an offering.
Okay. Okay.
How many of you don't know what an offering is? Okay, an offering, it's when you go to a church and they pass the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a handout with no promise of producing anything. You're looking to do a fundraiser like you did for Lassie. So you're actually not looking for investors. You're looking for people who want to give to charity. So you have to decide which one do you want. Do you want to go fundraise? Or do you want to go raise capital?
I want to raise capital.
So if you're going to raise capital, you certainly can't act, walk, talk, or present the same way that you would for raising money for your radio programs. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay, so if you're looking for investors, you have to know, what is an investor looking for? What is it?
Money.
Money. They're looking for a return on their investment, and they want to know how fast they can make it back. And sometimes they don't care how fast. Some people are looking for more long-term things, right? So if you don't have the answers to those questions, your movie means nothing to them.
Okay.
Right? Does your movie have to mean something to them?
No.
No. So who are the people that give money towards something that they have no expectation of a return? Foundations, charities. Does that make sense? Right? They're not expecting a return on their money. They're giving it to give it away, and that's it, right? But an investor is looking to gain a return for the investment that they put in, right? So to find someone that's going to give you $100,000 for nothing in return, it's possible. You're probably faster go to talk to 1,000 people who each give $100.
Sure.
Might be easier to get $100 out of 1,000 people than it would to get $100,000 out of one. I'm not saying you can't, but I'm talking about without a return. So
sure.
You need to work it out on paper. What is it going to cost to make your movie? Mm-hmm. What is your plan for distribution?
I have that.
You have the distribution plan.
I have my business plan.
You have your business plan. So then it's talking to them about the rate of return on the investment. What's their cut? How fast will they get it back? Mm-hmm. That's it.
But it hasn't worked so far.
Oh, what did you just say?
It hasn't worked so far.
Wow. So it hasn't worked so far before you learned everything you've learned for the last 3 days. So you're trying to tell me that if you went home and you formed, you made calls and you used form, and you set up an appointment to meet with somebody to present the business plan to, first of all, I have a feeling, to be honest with you, I think what's been wrong in your equation is that you are conflicted in what you're actually looking for. You've been talking to an investor like they are a giver of an offering. Because between Saturday when you were here, when you were telling me about your movie, and when you were standing right here, and I asked you, what are you looking for? And you said, I'm looking for an investor who would be excited about investing into producing a movie that is going to change lives. They don't give a rip about that. So you've been selling the wrong thing to the wrong to the right people.
Okay.
So and if you're talking to an investor, you better be very quick to the bottom line. What are the numbers? And this is it is. And how do you get to the place where they trust you in it? Listen, investors know they have a chance of winning or losing. So it's based on trust. And I think it was you that was with me at Walmart that in just a few minutes, you trusted, that was you, who trusted a perfect stranger, right?
Right.
And you said, why did you trust that perfect stranger?
Because you asked about me.
Yeah. Yeah, so wow, imagine that. You see, most investors have people only want to come after their money.
Okay.
So for some reason, you think people with a... Exactly. So is his film. So is ministry. So the point is that if you want to talk to an investor, you're going to use the same exact skills that you used before. Form, build trust, right? So an investor has to trust, feel like they can trust. You trusted me simply because I let you talk about yourself.
Okay.
Makes sense? So if you talk to an investor and you don't initially make it about all that, but you get to know who they are, right? And you find through form, you'll discover what their gem is even in that. So if they are somebody that is like super passionate about lives being changed, then you can present it from that angle, but you better have the bottom line numbers in it, right?
Yeah.
If it's a sapphire and they want to just like to do a bunch of fun, spontaneous things, well, then you know exactly how to present it, but you make sure, again, the bottom line is this is what the return is. You find out what's most important to them and you feed it to them. What you were doing before was trying to literally sell something you're excited about without considering what it is that they actually want. Got it?
Yes.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, anybody else? We got time. And by the way, guess what business plans are? Garbage. They really are. They're projections. Guess what projections are? Hogwash. They mean nothing. And investors actually know it. But the fact that somebody goes and does it shows that the person is committed to doing what they said they're going to do versus someone that's just coming and asking for $100,000. Do you know what I mean? So, like a degree. Exactly. Yes, ma'am, come on up. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Hi, Danny. My question's really short.
What's your name for them?
Okay. It's Dee Ajayi from Fort Worth.
Who sounds like she's from London.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
So it's a really short question. So you were saying that you were running several businesses at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was, and we made that list of people.
Yeah.
Were you marketing, were you hitting them at the same time?
No. So you don't want to promote more than one thing at one time. Meaning I didn't have two competing businesses at the same time.
Okay.
Go ahead and ask your question so that I can make sure I answer it.
You're answering it right now. So, for example, perhaps Hans is working on something, and then you're working on real estate. I don't know. You're both working on two completely different businesses at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously have people in common.
Mm-hmm.
I'm single, so that's not my scenario at all. But were you hitting them? So you just decide the person you, I will only market this to, and then you organize your CRM that way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important to sanitize your database.
Okay.
Yeah. So if, and it's also, I mean, you're single, so, you know, you got all the time in the world to do whatever the heck you want to do when you're not married with kids. So that's a beautiful thing. But I would caution you into having too much going on.
Okay.
When people have multiple businesses, meaning I prefer not having that.
Okay.
Personally. So and I don't even want to equate it to where I'm at this stage in my life. But back then, I had one thing I was focusing on. I was building a sales force, and I was using First Steps to build that sales force.
Okay.
Okay? So the product was insignificant. That doesn't mean anything. The product could have been anything. But my whole focus is I'm presenting that business opportunity to somebody. My focus was getting them to First Steps. So no matter what, I'm closing you on registering the night I sign you up for First Step Success. I am closing you tonight on this event because there's no point in you signing up in a business without this event to teach you how to develop yourself into the kind of leadership role that you say you want to make. You say you want to make six figures, you ain't going to do it without this training. Real simple. So, and I know some of you are like, no, I can do it without that training. Yeah, but can the person you're talking to? Did you hear me? Can the person you're talking to? It was really funny. Kristen Niederhaus is here. Kristen and I have been together for 24 years, 1993. April of 1993 is when her and I met. That's Brian's wife. But we were upstairs during lunch. She says, man, it is amazing how easy it is for us to forget where we learned this. Like she says, she goes, hearing you talk about this, I forgot that, yeah, I brought people through these events. This is what developed my people. This is what built a $3 million a year business, was bringing people here. She goes, and how easy it is to forget. And now we think, okay, well, I know this now, so I can do it myself. Why would you want to? This is a shortcut. It's simple. So anyway, so that was my focus then. So it isn't until that thing is running by itself, like even right now, my business does millions of dollars a year with very little of my time. Everyone is in place. They're working on systems. They set their own goals. They tell me what they want to do. I have very little input on things. This hotel, I didn't pick this place. I didn't negotiate this contract. Do you know what I mean? I don't know where I'm going until I get there. So until a business is set up to where that thing is running smooth on its own and you have systems in place to where it needs very little of your time, I don't recommend starting a whole nother thing.
Okay, and you don't put them together.
I do not put them together. Yeah, you're welcome. That's called co-mingling. It's not a good idea in general. Okay. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Come up. Yep. Yeah, you. Yes, you're the ma'am. He's the sir.
Thank you, Danny.
Hi. Good to see you again.
You too.
Yeah.
I learned a lot this weekend.
Really?
About myself.
Really?
Yes.
Cool. Awesome. What are you going to do about that?
I'm going to go home and implement it with my relationship with my wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Change that around.
What's the first thing you're going to do?
I'm going to stop saying you, and I'm going to start saying I. Stop preaching.
Yes. You're going to start owning it.
Right.
Owning your own feelings, owning your own decisions, and
right.
Stop telling her what to do.
Yes.
Good. You're going to stop trying to fix her?
Yes.
Smart.
Thank you.
You're going to get laid.
It wasn't the question I was asking.
He's all excited. Space is bright red. So are you going to say I'm sorry?
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
That's awesome. Okay, what can I do for you?
So I'm starting a conventional nationwide franchise business.
Awesome.
Offering a service for electronics in cars.
Cool.
I've been a mechanic for the last 16 years.
Nice.
Now a stay-at-home dad. But I'm just doing it part-time, and so I'm...
Why? Why are you a stay-at-home dad?
My wife makes three times as much money as I do.
I'm going to ask the question again. Why are you a stay-at-home dad?
Because I'm setting my priorities straight to...
Why are you a stay-at-home dad?
Because I was working so many hours that I couldn't put my priorities straight with my God. And
you mean you chose to make your work your God?
I did.
Yes.
Yes.
And so then you chose to abandon work altogether.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
Well, right now I feel good because I'm resetting my priorities and looking for something new. So I feel like it's kind of a reset.
Are dads supposed to be home full-time with their kids?
No, I think they're supposed to be working.
You're freaking right.
Right.
You're absolutely right. Yep.
Right.
Absolutely. And it's usually best if they're not working with their wife.
No, I'm not working with my wife.
That's good. Right. I'm glad. It's usually best. Men need to go do what men need to do. They need to have time away from their wives, away from their children. They need to go be men. They need to get dirty. They need to be strong. They need to slay dragons out there in the marketplace every day. They need to wrestle down oppression. They need to wrestle down anything that makes them afraid. They have to go conquer the world every day and do that aggressively.
Right.
And then they come home and they be really nice, sweet, and romantic with their wives.
Yes. And I've been living in shame, ego, and pride most of my life.
Yes. Okay, so why are we looking for a part-time job? Or starting a part-time business?
Well, I guess I don't.
You're not Mr. Mom, just to let you know.
I hear you.
You're going to be with us in 4 weeks, aren't you?
I'm working on that.
Excuse me? You're going to be with Hans and I in Dallas, Texas in 4 weeks with your wife.
Yes, ma'am.
You need it more desperately than you think in this very moment.
I know, that's true.
Yeah. You need to hear from Hans.
You're right.
More than you need to hear from me.
Thank you.
Yes. So, you're going to start a company.
Yes.
And?
So, I've been doing it for the last 5 years, just real part-time. So, I've got experience in what I'm doing. I'm worried about people duplicating what I do and running away with it.
And because so, 7 billion people on the planet is not enough customers.
Right, right. But I guess here, what I'm asking is when I start the franchise, which I'm working on, I've already been working with Anderson Legal.
Cool.
If I did a multi-level marketing process with it.
I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, nope, nope.
That's my question.
Nope, nope, no. That is a beast, a completely different business. These are two different businesses.
Okay.
Completely. So the running of it and then the building of a sales force is a completely different thing.
Okay.
So it's like it's two companies kind of at the same time, and I strongly do not recommend that.
Okay. So just find my guys, market it to people that want to do the services. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You can pass the mic.
So helpful.
Yes.
I appreciate you very much.
Thank you. I'll see you in 4 weeks.
Hi, I'm Virginia.
You're gorgeous.
And I'm so pleased to meet you.
Very pleased to meet you.
Thank you for
That's your natural curl.
It is.
It's gorgeous.
There's a lot of humidity here. So
where are you from?
Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, very close to the last event.
Nice. Yeah. What can I do for you, love?
So I have a specific question, but I think it's like a broad.
Give me the specific.
So the specific is I have a decision to make. I'm kind of launching into something on my own, and I have to decide if it's going to be like a for-profit but social enterprise, or is it going to be nonprofit? And I thought I had a decision, and then a person that's going to do the legal paperwork, whatever, said the complete opposite. And so my question is, I am single, and I want counsel because I know.
Do you have children?
Mm-mm, no.
Cool.
Not yet.
Cool.
So I don't know, like, where I know that's not my strength, I want input, but I don't know, like, do I pre-decide, like, these people are going to help me decide, or do I, like, when she said that, she says I should do the nonprofit route, and I thought I was going to do for-profit social enterprise, so now I'm like, oh, well, how do I decide who to take input from, like, from a counsel standpoint, because I am not an expert at everything.
Yeah, and nor will you ever be, and neither am I. But that's a really great question. And at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to be responsible for the decision.
Okay.
So you have to know that. So even when you have experts, whether they're CPAs or they're attorneys or whatever, even when you have experts, at the end of the day, you have to know that they all make mistakes and everything that you're paying them for is just an opinion.
Okay.
They will not be responsible for building your business. They will not be responsible for building your brand. So they literally are just giving you their opinion. Okay. So you can't put so much weight in stock on what they're telling you to do. So at the end of the day, it's yours. So what do you want to own? What do you want to run? What do you want to manage? Is it a nonprofit or is it a for-profit that you give the profits away?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I think it's a for-profit social enterprise.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you had other people's opinions tell you how the structure should be?
Yeah.
And?
They all said that.
Right. I bet if you asked another 10 people, you'd probably have the same one out of five say the same thing.
Okay.
The one that would be against it and the other five that would be for what you're talking about.
So in the future, like other things that come up, like should I like have certain people that are like my board of advisors, if you will, like
a board of advisors is important.
Okay.
A board of advisors is important. And we all have a different way of making decisions. And I think you'll learn what your way of making decisions is. And unfortunately, the only way to learn through those things is through trial and error. So I'm proud of you that you have courage to go trial and error. And just know that you're going to do the best you can. This is how you're going to start it. This is how you're going to run with it. And it is going to be what it is. So nothing you do is final anyway.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So things can be changed. Some things can be changed. Most things can be changed. But I think a board of advisors is important. But really what's more important is what are you going to do today?
Are you asking me that?
I did.
Okay. Well, today I'm not doing anything. I'm moving forward without making that decision. Like, that's what the truth is, what I've been doing. Oh, you're asking me, like, to make a decision. I think I'm going to decide.
What was that? I think?
I choose that it will be a for-profit social enterprise.
And when are you starting it?
Well, it started.
It already started. It already started.
Like, I've done all the work.
Is it in business?
Is it in business?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the government doesn't think it is, but it kind of is. Yes.
Are you making money?
Yes.
Okay, so you're in business.
Yes.
So what are you going to do today?
I guess move forward with that it will be a for-profit social enterprise.
As what it is right now.
Correct.
Yeah. So how many customers are you going to get tonight?
That's a great question. One.
How many tomorrow?
Five.
How many the next day?
I do have a 90-day plan.
Excuse me.
I haven't broken it down by day yet. I guess I should shoot for five per day.
It's a good shot.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. I had a follow-up question, though, and then it just popped out of my head.
Go get a customer.
Thank you.
One more. Go ahead. Did you say you had one yet? I do, yep. You can come, too, because I have time for two.
I first met you in May.
Yes.
March.
I remember. In Dallas.
Yes.
Yes.
Found an investor. He was a right fit.
Good job.
He brought $60 million to the table.
Do you guys remember her? Okay.
We had a 26-page contract.
Wow.
The inventor of the company had a major pride issue.
How do you know?
He's a raging emerald.
How do you know
he has I'm so nervous.
Okay. So how do you know he has a major pride issue?
Because he is willing to...
Are you God?
No.
Who's the one that judges the heart?
God. There was a problem.
There we go.
Instead of letting the investor fix the problem in 3 months, he said no to the deal.
He said no to the deal because a need wasn't being met or an expectation wasn't being met. It has nothing to do with
that. He wants to resolve that one problem himself.
Okay, so hold on.
Which would take 2 years.
Okay.
And then everything's going to fall apart.
Right. So then you find another, you find somebody else. So, but here's what I'm catching.
Wait.
No, you wait.
Find
wait.
Another what?
Hold on. Number one, if you come into a relationship and a working relationship with somebody and already you're able to judge their heart, you're coming from the wrong place. You can't find solutions if you decide someone has a prideful heart. Do you understand? And you can't negotiate well.
I can't negotiate at all.
Exactly. So if you've made it up your mind that that guy had a pride issue because he's an emerald or whatever the personality issue is, when you make up your mind that you know what that is, you can't find a solution, right? So the only way to fix this solution is through proper communication, right? And this is where where you have to humble yourself, come to the table and say, what do we have to do to make this work? What do we have to do to make this work?
I'm kind of stuck. I can't find another investor to bring to the table until this one issue is fixed. And I still believe that the person I brought to the table is the right one.
As far as the investor goes?
Yes. I feel like it's the right team. It fits everything.
But if it doesn't go through,
right.
Then what? So is it the right thing and is it the right one?
I don't know how to fix this.
No, you are holding on really tight to what you want, and you really want to change the person's mind.
That is true. There's a timeline with these patents.
Mm-hmm.
We have 184 patents, and we mm-hmm. have a time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a crunch.
Yep. So if the guy decides, so it sounds to me like you're holding on to what you want.
I want this company to be successful, and it will also change my life and so many lives of others. So many jobs would be created here in Texas.
That's awesome, and we need it. However, you're digging your heels in the ground so strong that you're not being able to create a neutral ground for negotiating the fix. So either the thing's going to crumble, and you're going to have to find a whole new set of everything, or you're going to have to come to the table with a completely different focus, and that is we find some kind of common ground that's going to make sense for everybody. But you can't do that if your mind is already made up. Exactly. If your mind is already made up that he's prideful and he's got to change his mind, you don't want that business working relationship, do you? So when you say, no, it's all perfect, the right team's at the table, no, the right team is not at the table because we have one that doesn't want to play team right now. We also have one who's judging the other one's heart right now. So that tells me that there's a fence in the air. You and I serve the same God.
Yeah, we do.
Can God work a miracle if there's a bunch of a fence in
the
air?
It's a miracle that's gotten this far.
But tell me, if there's
absolutely
a fence, who's now given room for the enemy to come in and steal the deal?
I am, because I'm being stupid.
At least you're gorgeous and really smart. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So whatever has to be done, this is about humility coming in, that if this really is the right team, then everything's going to work itself out. And that means, and so really tell me, is the right team people that are going to stand against each other?
No.
Thank you. So what really is the right team?
Well, if I knew that, I wouldn't have to ask you.
No.
I don't know.
No. Okay, so yes, you do. Do you want a team that works against each other or for each other?
No, it has to be together.
Exactly. So is this one together?
Not right now, no.
Thank you. So you have to go back and solve the problem. And you're not going to strong arm somebody. You're not going to convince somebody. You're not going to bully somebody into that place. It's going to be, let's come to a place where we can figure out something that is fair and good and balanced for everybody so that we can have a long-term working relationship. Sometimes we can hold on to the vision so tight that we try to force the wrong people in to the right place. And therefore, it's no longer right. Do you understand? So to me, I hold things very, very loosely, very, very loosely. And how I hold it is, if this is the right thing, it's going to fit. And if it's not, I know that someone else is out there. Just as how I found these people that you have at the table now, you can find the others. There's plenty of others that are out there. So if they don't want to play according to being honorable or whatever, if people are already fighting at this stage in the game, is it really the right team? What's going to happen when another decision has to be made? And you've got strong rubies, strong emeralds, powerful people, huge egos at the table.
I have more people that want to talk to them, but I feel like until we can fix this brokenness, I can't bring anyone else to the table.
I agree. So it needs to go back to the table, see what can be done to resolve the issue, Humble yourself in this situation. What can we do to make this work? And if there's no synergy to make it work, this is a no-go.
Then I have to find
another. Business. You have to go, absolutely. You have to go another place. You're holding on to something you shouldn't be holding on to. Okay. I recently had a situation like that where I had somebody that I was going to bring out for a restaurant. And it's a restaurant consultant guy who owned restaurants in the past. When it came down to negotiating income and salary and splits and all that stuff, where he said, man, I don't care, he wanted a high salary in a small town to do a job that pays $50,000 a year, and he wanted $120,000. And he wanted part of the profits, but he wasn't putting any money into the deal. And I'm like, pull your head out, buddy. No, you're actually asking for a job and part ownership. I'm not going to hire you for $120,000 a year to do this job and give you a cut on the backside if you're not bringing anything into the table. You're actually interviewing for a job is what this is. So no go. So because there was not like-mindedness in that financial conversation, it's like, you're not the guy. So you have to be willing. You cannot be a strong negotiator if you're not willing to walk. Okay? You can't be. So you always have to be willing to walk. So it's time to walk.
It's not in me to quit.
It's not quitting. It's finding the right one. You've convinced yourself this is the right one because a few pieces have come together. Got it? So my recommendation is you go back. You do what you can in the last part of it to see if we can bring some kind of resolve. But your heart has to be clean. You remember from Dynasty, the restoration conversation and that whole thing? That's where you come back. You take ownership of, hey, listen, I have to tell you, I've approached this wrong. And I'm really sorry if I have offended you, if I've been too strong in this. I've probably held on too tight for this. And it kind of seems to me like we probably shouldn't work together. Take it away. We probably shouldn't work together. Unless, of course, you feel that there's some way that we can work this out where it feels fair and balanced and everybody feels really solid and good about the decision and the course in which that we're going to take. If everyone doesn't feel solid and good about it, this is never going to fly. It's never going to work. So tell me, what do you think would need to happen in order for that to happen? So if he says, it's got to be 2 years, this is not the right team. Period.
He's going to lose everything.
Who cares? That's his choice. That's his choice. That's not your choice. You can't make that choice for him. Pass the mic. Let go of the control, Mama.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Proud of you.
And your advice, your wisdom from March is spot on.
Amen. That's awesome. Good job.
Thank you so much, Danny.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. My name is Mira.
Hi, Mira.
Hi. I have a question that I never, just because I never heard you talk about it.
Then I might not have an answer.
Okay. So you teach a lot about one-on-one, forming is one-on-one. What if you're in a group setting? Like there's four or five people.
Did you say that you never heard me talk about that?
Like not in
actually,
front of
you've been watching me do it for three solid days.
No, not in front of the crowd. Like if you're sitting.
Is this a group?
If you're sitting in a car with like four other people and like you want to be the listener, you want to form them, but you don't want to be talking all the time. But if you don't talk all the time, then the conversation goes away from where you want it to go. So how do you lead the conversation if you're, let's say, sitting in a restaurant with you and three other people?
When did you do that?
All the time.
Okay. So you're in a restaurant with three other people and you're asking...
Yeah, like I'm in a restaurant with...
You're asking how to form three people at the same time?
Right. Like, yeah, like come up with a conversation without being like, without being an egotistic and keep the light on me. I want to keep the light on them, but I still want to...
Wait, stop. If you're forming people, the light is not on you.
Right. But then it's only on that one person that I'm forming, then the other two people are not connecting.
Get up here. Yes. Yeah, you guys don't pass the mic. So we all know each other, right?
Right.
Right, we're at lunch. So, Carmen, how you been?
Good.
What you been up to?
Oh, my son turns 5 in a couple weeks.
Does he really?
Yeah,
holy crap, so. That was really fast. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, what about you?
I've just been working and taking care of my daughter. And
how old is she now?
She's 6.
Mira, what about you?
Well, my son actually going to be 5 in a couple of months.
Mira, go sit your butt down. I just demonstrated for you. You're making this harder than it really is. I just asked the same question to all three, and look at you all connected.
So you asked three people the same question.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Quit complicating that. It's ridiculous. Huh? You can't end with what question? You don't end with that question? Why? Don't complicate it. Why? Why does she need to ask a question? I don't want any whining. I want you to get straight to the point and answer me clearly when I ask you a question back. Is it a question? Do you have to give me a story? Go.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Beautiful. I'm Danny.
I'm from Minnesota.
Hi, Minnesota. Yes. Do you have friends in Wisconsin?
Yes. I have family in Wisconsin.
In Michigan?
I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay,
you
what do you need?
I kick my butt every time I come. This is my second time. I was the one that stood up last time.
You're telling
time.
Me a story. What's
yes.
your question?
Okay. We've talked a little bit about vision.
Yes.
I struggle with my vision.
Why?
Because I was abused.
What does being abused have to do with struggling with the vision?
Because the media says all this.
Well, who the hell are they?
Exactly.
So what does the media have to do with your vision?
I don't know what I want.
Yeah, that's more like it. Where do you want to go?
Somewhere warm. I'm sick of the snow.
Okay, so...
And I want to feed the orphans in Nicaragua with you because my niece is adopted and her birth mother is from Nicaragua.
Wow. Okay, so what are you doing now? Oh, I'm so glad you're asking this. Okay, let's go here. Where does vision come from?
God.
Yeah, generally. And oftentimes it gets spurred by other people's vision. Right? Yes. See, how long have you known your niece who is adopted that has a Nicaraguan mother?
Her whole life.
And how long is that?
She's turning 14 on the 2nd.
Okay, 14?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you knew that she had a Nicaraguan mother her whole life, but it didn't matter until you heard about us doing something in Nicaragua. That's vision spurring vision. Do you understand? So other people's vision can help birth vision in you.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that, though? Like, I want to go there now. I want to live somewhere warm. This all makes sense. You prosper where you're planted. You prosper where you're planted. By the way, that's a second financial law. Is you prosper where you're planted. How do you get to where you want to go, even if you don't quite have it crystal clear of what it looks like, of where you want to go? You prosper right where you're at. Right where you're at. So you're saying you want to help feed the orphan. You want to help take care of people in Nicaragua. So what can you do today to make that happen? Right from where you're at. What can you do?
That's a really good question.
And the answer is?
The first thing that comes to my mind is my ex-sister-in-law who's...
No. What can you do today? You said you want it. How are you going to feed the orphan? What does it take?
I'm going to call those people on my list that I don't want to call because of what I believe.
Stop.
All that crap I left behind.
Yeah.
In Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so,
here too.
Yes. And so what are you going to do? You're going to call your list of resources
yes.
and?
I'm going to bring more people here.
Okay. But today you are going, how are you going to feed an orphan today?
I'm going to call them today. I'm going to call someone today.
And do what?
Invite them here.
No, you're going to get them to go to King's Ransom and give a donation because you want to feed an orphan today.
There you go. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because that's feeding an orphan today.
Yeah.
Right? So if it's if the orphan is what's calling out to you and you're hearing that cry, right, of the poor, mm-hmm. then it's about how do I help give money to those places. So it's how much of my budget can I be given to that every single day? Right? Every single week, every single month, right? And then if you're not satisfied with that, man, I want to get other people. Let's say that you have a goal. I want to give $10,000 a month, but my income, I can give $500 a month. So I'm going to go find $9,500 more from that list of places. You have a business? So I'm going to go build my business. And let's say that for the next month, you use 100% of the profits from that business to give to the poor. Maybe it's 90%. Maybe it's 50%. Maybe it's 10%. Your husband's here.
Yes.
Okay, does your husband provide for the household?
Yes, he does.
So he takes care of her, and you feed the family. Really? So she actually doesn't even need to have a business. Does she? Nope. So she doesn't need to make money? So the husband's sitting there smiling because you want to see your wife happy and you know that she has a passion for helping people. You're just like my husband. So you wouldn't mind if she built a business and took care of the poor with the business?
I would love that.
Really?
Because I...
You don't have to tell me why. I can see it written all over you.
I just told that man over there that I want to feed them and I want to have fun with them.
Yes.
I want them to have fun. Those kids
yes.
need fun.
I totally 100% agree.
I don't want the dead dog thing. That what Brian was saying, I'm like, holy hell.
That's real.
No more.
Yes,
no more.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like they need fun and yes. balls and
yes.
playing. You know,
yes, yes.
That's what I want for them.
Okay, great. So how can you do that? You have a business in front of you, right? So you're prospering where you're planted. You're in Michigan.
Minnesota.
You're in Minnesota. Go Vikings. Okay,
yes.
So
you're... Even though we suck, I know.
I don't know that they suck. Well. I didn't need that information, but anyway, nonetheless. So bottom line is you're in a business. You have a business that your husband has blessed, that he has supported. He has blessed you by being a man that has stepped up and has assumed his role of providing for his wife's needs. She has a business that she can do whatever you guys decide to do with that money. And if it's her heart to take care of the poor, then what can you do with it? Now, here's the vision. I want to go to Nicaragua within 12 months. I want to build X amount of houses. I want to take care of this many orphans, and I'm going to do it by this time. And how? What's my vehicle? My business. So even when you're presenting your business, the money's going here from this business. So are you still afraid to call those people?
No.
Thank you very much. Get out of here. That's purpose to money. When people are afraid to make money, it's because they haven't established the purpose to the money. Look at that. He's kissing his wife. He's happy that she is going, yes. You've probably been telling her this for a while. Oh, he's shaking his head. What is it?
Okay. No fluff. My husband's a software engineer. I had a home-based business. I homeschool my 9 kids.
Good job.
My business tripled or quadrupled his income. Now he wants to come home and
why does he want to come
take
home?
Over the business.
Why does he want to come home? Did someone put that idea in his head?
All the other men that are at our rank do that.
Who gives a rip?
Well, I don't have it. I mean, he's
maybe you guys should go interview those other men and really see if they're happy.
Well,
just
so what do I do as a wife?
Go build your business. Go build your business. I'm going to tell you guys need to be at the marriage conference. No joke. You need to be at the marriage conference. First of all, your rank doesn't mean squat for your marriage. First of all, taking away a man's authority, taking away a man's ability to earn his living for his family is emasculating the man. It's stealing his manhood. It is never a woman's job to retire her husband. Yeah, no, that's great. And if other people are encouraging that, I'd be careful who you're hanging out with. Because that is a feminist movement, and it is wrong. 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 It is not what's healthy for the house. What I can tell you is I've watched this kind of thing happen for the last 24 years, and I've watched it destroy marriages. Yeah. That when the husband comes home to come into a business that he did not build, that he doesn't know anything about, that he doesn't even have an interest in, he's emasculated. Yeah. He's emasculated. Now he's lost vintage. Now he's floundering. We have people right here. Forget it. Taryn and James. Love her. Go ahead, James. Let's talk about this. You too? Let's nail this sucker. Let me tell you something. People in business, for some reason, allow the business to come ahead of the marriage, to come ahead even the headship of that. So someone put in his head, he didn't care about being retired, staying home all day, and trying to join a business that he has no interest in. This is something you built. So what should it be? We have lots of these people in here, and I know I'm going to get hate mail on this, but I don't care. Because you know what happened? Exactly a year and a half ago, in this very room, this same exact question came up. Those two were way in the back, and she had retired her husband. And the first question was, how well is that working for you guys? Go ahead.
Well, first off, it sucks.
really bad. And if there's males saying that he should do that, I'd really just kick him between the legs real quick.
Find your balls.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of difficult because it's also interesting that this is the same room.
Yeah.
And we're being put on the spot again.
Yeah.
But God's timing is good. So glad you asked the question. What had happened was my wife had built a business too. And basically, I think we were earning 10 times
your
amount
income.
Of income. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we got that same advice. It makes no sense. You know, you need to come home. You can be a stay-at-home dad. Do whatever you want. Have all the time you want. And I actually liked my job. And I told them that. I said, well, I really like what I do. But they just kept pushing, pushing, pushing. You know, think how many more people you can help. You know, you can make all this money. Go here and there. Yeah, I was holding her back. You know, you guys could go so much further. But it was the exact opposite. They weren't looking out for us. They're not looking out for you. They're not looking out for your husband, nor anybody else in this room. It's basically a ploy to get you to do what they want you to do, which is make them more money.
Yeah.
So you have to find out first, what do you really want to do, and what does he really want to do? Because I'll tell you that this slope is bad, and I've had this conversation with a couple other guys here this weekend. Once he gets into that position, it's going to take so long for him to find what he wants to do again. Yeah. Because Danny nailed it. Either I haven't been paying attention or it's the first time I heard it. But every human wants to rise.
Yeah. Especially a man.
Yes.
Especially a man. That's what he's called to do.
Yeah.
Hold on. He can't take it over.
Right.
Just hold on.
He'll never be able to. You built it. Your name is attached to that. His name will never be attached to it, no matter what happens. It's your name. And a male, what they want to do, they want to be the alpha. They want to control what their domain.
Amen, right? Okay, this is the kind of stuff we'll be addressing at the marriage conference, by the way. Men need to be back in their place, and women need to understand what theirs is. Let me tell you something. Why am I doing this? This is a revolution for me. This is why I'm doing this. I'm sticking my neck on the line as a businesswoman. I'm a business coach. But here's what I see. Marriages are a mess because of being influenced by two things. Our churches have emasculated the man, and society has emasculated the man. And now we have certain business models that have jumped on board of the emasculation of the man. Okay? And the church has also completely jacked up the women. So there's no place for her. She doesn't know where she actually belongs. So we have a feminist movement that's telling her to be a guy. We got the feminist movement saying we don't need the guys. We have the women who are going to church that know the feminist movement isn't where they belong. However, she doesn't know where she belongs. Because if she's beautiful, she's cursed. If she's smart and strong, she's cursed. She's told to sit down, shut up, and do nothing with herself. Both of that is a lie. So there's a ton of confusion that's in our world today, and I want to do whatever I can to stop at least a portion of it. Because when these two stood up in this room right back there and asked the same darn question, they were naked before 1,000 people that were in the room. And here was the reality. We're miserable. But when they get in front of their group, we have to play the game. There's several people in this room that would stand up giving the same exact testimony right now. There's several. There's one that I know right now. She's itching right now. Her husband is lost. She's been in tears with me. They make tons and tons of money, but her poor husband is lost. He has forgotten who he is. He has no idea what he wants to be now when he grows up, but he was doing great before he came home. His wife retired him. That's a bunch of crap. So let me break it down and make it plain. Is there something wrong with two incomes? There's nothing wrong with two incomes. Is there something wrong if the business that your wife started starts to flourish and it grows and it makes more money than the husband does? Is there something wrong with that? No. Here's what's wrong. Our society is a divisive society. So it's hers and mine. There's no ours. There's no ours. So it's an ours. It's the two of them building the vision. The Proverbs 31 woman is a businesswoman. She's a businesswoman. But her husband is the higher priority over her business. The husband is the higher priority. The husband and the wife and their relationship is the higher priority over any business, over any investment. That woman, her job, first and foremost, is that man and those kids and that house. And what she does on a part-time basis with something flourishing like crazy, guess what? That's just bringing more food into the storehouse. And the two of them, and he's the head, he's the one responsible for making the decision about the taxes, the future planning. Do you understand what the retirement's going to look like one day? And if they choose, and you hear me out, if they choose that, okay, she's making all this cash, what does it do? We can have a little fun with it. We can have fun. We can go on vacations. We can pay off all of our debt. Come on, why? Because it's the two of us. But guess what? Our society has divided households so badly that she sees her check as her money, her right, her entitlement to do whatever the heck I want to do with it, which then again emasculates him all over again. She doesn't trust him, doesn't trust his decisions, doesn't trust his leadership. Why? Because somehow, I'm empowered. I'm making all this cash. How powerful do you feel? You now feel like she did. Under tons of pressure, having a nervous breakdown, wanting to just end it all. Not knowing her kids, feeling completely overwhelmed. I suck as a wife, I suck as a mother. And guess what? Every wife and every mother doesn't want to suck there. All we want to be is good women. That's all we want to be, is good wives. We want to be good people. We want to be good mothers. But we suck at it. And why? Everything outside those doors is teaching us how to be men. There, anything with two heads is going to kill each other. It can't succeed when there are two heads. Women, forget it. I'm not going to do hot marriage secrets today. So here's the deal. So is there a problem with, the only way I've ever seen this work, okay, is when the husband still remains in his profession that he loves. What it's done is taken a little bit of pressure off of him. Which is great. He can now do his work, but his still responsibility is to put food on the table. His responsibility is to protect his household. His responsibility is to be the one to pay for all of that stuff. That's his job. That's where he's a man. So whatever extra she makes is just extra. It's just bonus. That's all that is. But as soon as it becomes the main household income, and I don't care how much it is, whether it's $3,000 a month, $30,000 a month, or $300,000 a month, if all of a sudden he's not making money on his own anymore, now that business that is making that amount is a crap ton of pressure on that woman, that she now has to keep it up, that she somehow has to make it all work all the time versus this is fun money. This is fun money. So what if the fun money, it continues to grow like they do, make hundreds of thousands of dollars extra a year. As a couple, they do this, okay? So if that's the case and she says, they decide, let's pay off our mortgage or let's pay cash for a house. Whatever you do, do not make a financial decision that is based on that extra business. Never. Never. Why? Because what if they pay cash for a 6,000 square foot house and his job makes $50,000 a year? And all of a sudden, that business is gone. Tell me, can he afford the maintenance at $50,000 a year in a 6,000 square foot house? Nope. What about the taxes? Nope. Are you hearing me? Live below your means. Live below your means. The means are what he makes. Whatever she makes is what? Let's plan for the future. Let's build the storehouse. Let's build the storehouse. Let's build the storehouse. Let's go on a vacation. Why? It's paying cash. It's not adding any extra maintenance on his shoulders. Do what it takes to live a life without the pressure. Pressure sucks. It sucks. So pay cash for things. Pay cash for the car. Pay cash for the insurance in advance. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's what that extra money can be for. It is not for you guys to put more pressure on yourselves. Money freaking sucks. And it hurts people if you don't know what to do with it. So what do you do with your husband when you go home? Yeah, you might want to have him hear that story of, honey, I don't know if we're about to do the right thing or not. And I think it would be a really good idea for us to maybe talk to some of those people about whether really or not they're happy. Let's find some people to tell us maybe the other side of the story, because there is another side of the story. And there's many of them in this room. There are many of them in this room, and they're afraid to say it. They're afraid to say it. He's not. He just told you. It's a slippery slope. And everything that's in a man is to guide his family, to protect his family. We are so screwed up culturally that she says, this is my money and that's his money. No, this is for the common vision of the marriage. And it cannot be the only thing now that is providing for this family. Him getting rid of his income, him getting rid of his vision, him getting rid of his responsibility in that, and trying to take something that is not his or that he didn't build, that his name is not attached to it, he's going to flounder. Just as I've seen I have never once seen it work in 25 years. Never once. And there's a whole lot of people that I've watched. I watched a $3 million business completely destroyed because of the husband being retired by his wife, him coming in and trying to lead that sales organization. Gone. It destroyed not only one $3 million business, but it destroyed a whole lot of other people's businesses too. Oh, I forgot that part. And the couple is divorced. The husband had a stroke. He's in a wheelchair. She's now remarried. She's gained about 100 pounds. The kids are a mess. Both of their health is a mess. Their life is a mess. And they're both broke. After making tons of money. Tons of money. Get it? So you're making an insane amount and your debt is higher than it's ever been. And he's going to quit his job. This is a disaster. This is a disaster. You guys got to get to Hot Marriage Secrets so bad. This is where it comes to where the rubber meets the road. You design your life and you live it according to what you guys want, not according to what anybody in any company or anywhere tells you what to do. You guys need to make the decision. What's best and healthy for us? Okay, a man who is not taking care of his family and that being his job, it eats at him. It eats at him. It tears him to pieces. It brings joy to him to see his wife happy. It brings joy to him to see that she's cared for, that he knows he's protecting his household and his future. That's what he's made to do. So if the debt's piling up, the only thing I'd work on right now is you don't go home and try to tell him what to do. You don't go home and fight him. You don't go home and try to go, but Danny, no. The last thing in the world he needs to hear is some other woman is telling him what to do. Do you understand? So it's real simple. You know, I met this guy. His name is James Liker. This couple shared their story. I'm just wondering if maybe we both might want to head to this Hot Marriage Secrets event and kind of hear maybe a different perspective before we make a really big life decision that perhaps could end up in a situation that would be unhealthy. Let me ask you a question. How's that pressure? It's horrible, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? Isn't it awesome that you're in a safe place where you can actually say that? Isn't it awesome that you are sitting in a place? Yeah. Isn't that sad that you can't be honest because your people are here? That's not a way to live. And guess what? They're going to follow in your footsteps. They're going to follow in your footsteps if you don't stop the cycle. All of you leaders that are here, oh, some of you are so pissed at me right now, but the truth hurts. And it's going to hurt one way or another. Either it's going to beat you up, either you're going to listen to the gentle messenger, and that's who was just talking. You're going to either listen to the gentle messenger or you will heed to the harsh one. So that couple I was just telling you about, they didn't heed to they didn't listen to the gentle messenger. They got destroyed, completely destroyed. Their family is gone. 4 children, ruined. An affair was involved. I mean, there is so much crap that entered into this family. Beautiful. You kind of look like her. Absolutely beautiful, gorgeous, perfect blonde. That today, you can't even recognize her. When I saw her picture on Facebook, my heart was broken. I was like, wow, talk about the perfect person to succeed who just made one big mistake. I'm going to retire my husband. Who the hell do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Papa Tom. There's another side to the story. I retired a few years back, about 3 years ago, and my wife did not. She makes a six-figure income. Right now, I'm not making nothing. Until a few months before Nicaragua, which was absolutely awesome. I finally found something that I could latch on to and do something with my life. Prior to that, I was just floundering. Yeah. I was falling apart. And it had nothing to do with building a business. Yeah. My wife has a fantastic job. But I cry almost daily because she has to go to work. And I'm at home. Yeah. And we plugged into this community 2 years ago and we'll never leave. Because we get life here. You guys all feed me.
Amen.
She feeds me like nobody I've ever known in this place. Not like he feeds
Amen.
Me.
Amen. Amen.
And I got a new why to latch on to. I have a 4-year-old grandson who's a special needs child. Mm-hmm. And because of what I just found a few months ago, my daughter joined me. And she said, Dad, I'm going to build this and I'm going to build it big. Because I'm going to build a house that Wayland can live in. Amen. And that other kids like him can live in. And their Amen. Parents can be feel comfortable where their children are. So find that why.
Yep.
That why that's for both of you. I got a fantastic wife. Many of you know her. And whenever I get down about her going to work and me not, she says, honey, we're a team. I don't care which one's bringing in the money. God brought us together. Yep. We're a team. We're working together. Yep. You keep building something that's going to bring me home.
Amen. Amen.
So pray for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Pray. Big time.
So on that note, that's the thing you got to do. When you head home, so here's a man who's been out of work for 3 years, and you're seeing the tears on his face of how that feels to know that his wife is responsible for the money, right? So go home, tell that story. Ask him in a not an aggressive way, not in a manipulative way, just say, I really think we should continue to explore other options and really get behind and see what the truth is, perhaps, is on the other side of the husband retiring and coming home and not doing what he has done all those years. Not only that, but honey, thank you so much for providing for us all these years. Thank you so much, because no matter what happens to this little business that I have on the side that's making that money, if you didn't have that, I would feel under so much more pressure than I feel already. Thank you so much that you care so much about us, that you've worked so hard all these years to put food on the table. Please do not get distracted or think for a minute that because this thing is flourishing at this time, that somehow it replaces you and what you've done for us all these years. Do you understand? So many wives and children don't ever say thank you to their husbands for providing. They just complain that there's not enough. They complain that they want more, and that sucks. So the women, if they can't push their man to go make more money, then fine, F you. I'm going to go find a way to make my own money. So wrong. So wrong. Why? Whatever is burning inside of us that we think we need more of. It's wrong. Instead of getting to the bottom of that. So go home and you thank him for providing for you guys and that you were not under the pressure to have to make money, but you got to raise your 9 freaking children. Thank you so much, honey, also for allowing me to have 9 kids. Because there's a lot of guys on this planet that would never, ever, ever allow that. Never. So thank you for affording us a house, transportation, communication, food, and health care. Thank you so much for being so good in your job that they've promoted you in your job. Thank you so much that they've not only promoted you, but you have a secure place that you have provided for all of us. And I know the only reason why you're doing what you're doing is because you care for us. That's what you say. When he sees that come out of your mouth, he's going to go, where were you? And keep going back. Do you know what I'm saying? So, and if there is a moment and you find where that moment is to just say, you know, I heard a story this weekend and I want you to talk to them a little bit more. You really need to hear the truth of it. And Taryn, on her side of it, man, there's so much pressure in what she did. She's afraid to even make commitments, even now, even to me, where she knows what my motives are for her, are not for building anything other than the success for that family. She knows that deep inside of her soul. But even then, she's like, I'm afraid to make a commitment. Why? Women get burnt out when they take on more responsibility than what they're supposed to. The man's shoulders are the ones that hold the responsibility to carry so much more than we have. But I want you to spend some time talking to them when we leave. And you just pray and do what you can to get them to come in 4 weeks, because you're registered already, then you don't have anything to worry about. The places I've seen it work is when the wife has made more money, and again, it just comes into the storehouse. And then they are making decisions on investments. They're making decisions on, and he's keeping his job. It's still his responsibility, because why? That's what he likes to do. Who are we to judge what a man decides to do for a living? Who are, okay, well, maybe a first step success might be able to help. Job domination might be able to help for him to understand, right? Why does he not like it? It could be because he's been hearing you should fire your boss. It could be that he doesn't like it because people have been telling him he shouldn't like it. This is all influence, I promise you. It's all influence from other places, which sucks, man. But if he could find fulfillment in what he's doing, why is he doing it? He's taking care of his family. So you as the wife can help him feel awesome about his job and the importance of that job and how grateful you are about what it is that he's doing. When he hears nothing, he's dissatisfied. There's no purpose of it. Right? Sorry for the bomb. Yeah. Thank you. It's really sweet of you. As you can tell, I'm really passionate about families. Really, really passionate about families. And I'm really passionate about men in particular. I was an emasculating wife. And in emasculating my husband, I didn't even know what the heck my role was. I just clearly didn't. But I am passionate about seeing families come back to the way they're supposed to be and us setting a new standard inside of our current generation that is so confused. Is it clear that our world is confused? And is it clear that even our churches are confused? So much confusion. No one knows what they're supposed to be doing and what their role is, which is why we're going to do what we're doing 4 weeks from now, is to at least give some kind of picture, some kind of guidance, so that the couple can actually make a decision for themselves. What's best for us? What's our original design? And what is the vision for our relationship and for our family? What's the design for that? So I am very blessed that I've gotten to spend these last 3 days with you. I am really so grateful for all of your encouragement, your nods, you taking notes. But what's going to make me even more grateful is what you do from here. What you do from here. Marriages need to be saved. Businesses need to be saved. Families need to be saved. People need to get on a right path. And you know what our goal is in reaching 100 million lives. We want to see restoration come where it needs to come, healing to come where it comes. We want to see people get healing emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, and financially. We want to see our nations come out of debt. And we know that the leaders of these places could care less about their citizens coming out of debt. So that means we have to care all the more in spreading the message of declaring war on debt. We have to be the ones to step up, to be that leader that is going to do what this woman's going to do in a high-level business situation where she's going to have to come in and learn how to solve conflict that's happening and be able to be willing to walk away from a deal that could be toxic in the future, to be wise and to put the right people in the right places so that we can make a difference in providing thousands of jobs in her state in which she lives in. I've challenged you all weekend long about vision. And at the very end of this, and I'm so grateful for that last question about prospering where you're planted. And that's why I keep saying, what are you going to do today? Today. Today. How many more customers are you going to get to come in today? How many more deals are you going to get done today? Right? Leave this place and live today. Today leads to tomorrow, which leads to the next day. And I promise you, that if you implement these very simple things and that throughout each day you're weighing your ego with your, hello, ego with your bank account to figure out which one weighs more and then making a decision on how to make a change, that if you choose to humble yourself and you choose to forgive, you choose not to judge, you choose to use those communication skills you got on Saturday with form to really finding what that need is and matching the need with a solution. That the bigger the problem you solve, the bigger the paycheck, right? Yesterday, you learned how to pay off all of your debt in the next 5 to 7 years. You're going to be completely debt-free within the next, did you hear me? Within the next 5 to 7 years, you are going to be completely debt-free without question. That's exactly where you'll be. I want you to imagine what that's going to feel like. This was not entertainment for the weekend, and this was not a bunch of suggestions or good ideas. This is a plan that actually works. Do you hear me? It's a plan that actually works. And you can do this plan just as the many have done this plan before you. So between War and Debt and GEMS, you now can go back to your office and back to your home. You can now accept people better at where they're at. And you now have discovered what motivates the different people that you're going to be talking to on the phone with that list of resources. Any other kind of exposure it is that you're doing. But every day is, how am I going to add to my contact list? And how do I help the people that are on my contact list to have a better life? How can I recommend them to something that is actually going to help improve and help them fill their needs? Today we talked a lot about business and we went deep into closing, and you got to see with that example with that precious hearted man up here and seeing really, wow, yeah, I'm not selling ketosis. I'm not selling a pill. No, I'm selling a life, and that's what all of us are selling. No matter whether we sell widgets, no matter what we sell, we're selling people a chance for a better life. It doesn't matter what that product or service is. So I believe that you've been equipped to do some great things, and I am firmly confident that you're going to use something that you gained here today and the last 2 days. I am firmly convinced that our paths are going to continue to make a difference where the difference needs to be made, in a place where others are not willing to do it. So from Saturday night to tonight, you're going to walk away from whatever the fears, the old pressure, as I was talking about Taryn, that's from the old way. So whatever is going to rise up in you now, like, now what? No, the questions are done. Now it's time to do. Did you hear me? The questions are done. Now it's time to do. How many deals would I close today? How many deals will I close today? You saw today a vision being birthed with a woman that if she's putting now passion and purpose to money, now there's something bigger to your business. Do you understand that your business is just a car to put people in, to take them to where you want them to go and where they want to go? So in this case, you're going to go get all kinds of people to be taking care of the orphan. And you will be in Nicaragua with us one day. And you will be hugging those kids. And you will be playing games with them. You might want to start learning Spanish, because that's what they speak down there. It's a good idea to learn language. And I'm talking to myself. And I'm Nicaraguan, and there's no excuse. None at all. Yes, when am I going to do it by? That's really good. That's really good. That's really, really good. Am I going to do? Am I going to learn it today? Okay, I'm going to go upstairs. On my way home, I'll do a Duolingo lesson. Yes, I'm actually right now. So today, yes, I can do it today. I can learn some Spanish today. Yes, I can learn some Spanish today. Bueno, gracias, gracias. Yeah, that's good. So yes, so learning Spanish is something you and I can do. By when? By this time next year, I'll be able to say at least 5 sentences in Spanish. That is perfect, and I will feel so good about myself that I can speak 5 fluent sentences by this time next year. Yes, I can do 5, 100%, no problem. It's going to take a lot of work, and I'm willing to commit to 5 sentences. I heard the number 2. In December, I will have at least 5 broken sentences by December. But I will be able to put some words together for sure. I'll have some words in December, and by next year, I'll have 5 sentences. That's my husband. He's telling me it's time to shut up and get off the stage. Because I'm going to drive home and go see that guy. Absolutely. So anyway, thank you, Chad. That was really good. Thanks for getting back control over the room. I needed the help right then and there, and he always helps me. Anyway, thank you so much for your time this weekend. I hope to see you in 4 weeks. And if you're not married and you want to be married, I'll see you in 4 weeks. If you are single and you want to be single, I will not see you in 4 weeks. But I will see you in 8 weeks. And I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to see you with part of your community from back home with you. People that you're working with, people that you're living with. And you're going to persist. And you're going to show a video. And you're going to say, what did you like about that? And you're going to say, tell me more about that. And you're going to say, do you want to make a little or a lot? Do you want to pay off that debt fast, or you want to pay it off slow? If you keep doing what you're doing right now, how long will it take you to be able to get to that goal you just shared with me? Great. Welcome aboard. You want to go fast or slow? Great. Fast track is for you. Give me your credit card. I'm signing you up right now. Simple. Keep it simple. Get it done. Let's build this thing. Let's go change 100 million people's lives. God bless you.